الحمد لله رب العالمين، أحمده سبحانه وأشكره على نعمة الأمن والدين، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ولي الصالحين، وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله إمام المتقين وقائد الغر المعجلين صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، أيها الإخوة الأعزاء وأيتها الأخوات الفاضلات، سلام الله عليكم ورحمته وبركاته. وبعد، فبإسمكم جميعا يشرفني أن أرحب بأجمل الترحيب بضيف الغالي، ضيف هذا الأسبوع في اللقاءات العلمية مع المشايخ الأفاضل والعلماء الأجلاء. أيها الأحبة، كم يسرنا أن يكون معنا اليوم أحد عالم من علماء المسلمين وداعية من دعاتها أحببناه في الله عز وجل، ونشكره على موافقته الكريمة، ونسأل الله أن يجعل هذا في موازين حسناته وأن يزيده علما وعملا. أيها الأحبة، ضيف هذا الأسبوع هو شيخنا الجليل ووالدنا العزيز فضيلة الشيخ الدكتور أبو أسامة وصي الله محمد العباس حفظه الله تعالى ورعاه، المدرس في المسجد الحرام بمكة المكرمة وفي جامعة أم القرى. Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, in an effort to connect the Ummah with the scholars and to provide opportunities to learn and benefit from scholars, we at the Quran and Sunnah Society of New York are pleased to announce the start of intensive courses in Islamic sciences, which will be tutored by the scholars every first and third Saturdays of each month, inshallah. Aqidah courses will be held on first Saturday and fiqh courses on third Saturday of each month. Please note that all participants will be awarded certificates, and after the exams, prizes will be distributed. For more information, please visit albasira.org or email course, course, at albasira.org. Today's lecture will be the first lecture of our fiqh course. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase us all in knowledge and grant us the wisdom. As for the lecturer, it pleases us to have with us today one of our noble and distinguished scholar, Sheikh Usudullah Abbas. He studied with many of the scholars, and from among his teachers are أَمَّا مُشَائِخُهُ فَهُمْ عَدَدٌ مِنَ الْعُلَمَاءِ وَالْفُقَهَاءِ الْبَارِزِينَ وَمِنْ أَشْهَرِهِمْ الْعَلَّامَةُ مُحَمَّدُ سَلِيمُ بَسْتَوِي وَنَذِيرُ أَحْمَدُ رَحْمَانِي وَعُبَيْدُ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَانِي الْمُبَارِكُورِي ومحمد الأمين الشنقيطي وحماد بن محمد الأنصاري وتقي الدين الهلالي and many others. Currently he is a lecturer at the Grand Masjid, Masjid al-Haram in Mecca, and professor in Umm al-Qura University and a member of Council of Higher Studies in Umm al-Qura University. Previously he has been the consultant to the chairman of the Council of Affairs of Masjid al-Haram and the Prophet's Masjid. He has authored many books and has ijaza from many scholars, including Sheikh Al-Allama Ubaidullah Rahmani Al-Mubarakfuri. أما موضوع المحاضرة فكما تعلمون أيها الأخوة، هذا أول يوم لشرح كتاب الدرر البهية الذي ألفه العلامة الفقيه الإمام محمد بن علي الشوكاني رحمه الله، وقد تبئ بشرحه أيضا وبشرح صديق حسن خان بتعليقة المحدث المجدد محمد ناصر الدين الألباني وبتحقيق الشيخ علي حلبي. فبهذه المناسبة محاضرة اليوم يكون عن الترجمة يسيرة عن المؤلف وكل من خدم هذا الكتاب وإبراز بعض مميزات هذا الكتاب. Dear brothers and sisters, the famous book الدرر البهية will be used to cover this course inshallah. This book was authored by Imam Muhammad al-Shawqani and was also explained by him. Furthermore, this book was also explained by Siddiq Hasan Khan and republished with the commentary of Sheikh Al-Albani and revised by Sheikh Ali Harabi. Since today is the first lecture on fiqh, we have decided to do today's lecture about the book, its author, and all those who served this book. And therefore, before we proceed with the Sheikh, I would like to make the important announcement about the submission of notes and the next lecture. We know that many of our registered students are currently enrolled in colleges and schools, and starting this week you will be having your final exams. Therefore, we will cancel our next two lectures and will resume our classes back in first week of February, inshallah. All students will also be granted additional 2 weeks of extension to submit notes. So don't rush to post notes if you are having your finals. Rather, concentrate on your finals and work hard, study hard. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all successful in the exams of the dunya and the exams of the hereafter. And now, without any further delay, I ask our honorable Shaykh to proceed. والآن مع فضيلة الشيخ الوالد أبي أسامة وسيد الله عباس فليتفضل مشكورا مأجورا.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. وبعد, فإن الله تبارك وتعالى قد أرسل رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله وأرسله على حين ضلال مبين من الناس في العرب وغير العرب. وقد حكى الله تبارك وتعالى في قوله هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله, كذلك لقد من الله على المؤمنين إذ بعث فيهم رسولا منهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة وإن كانوا من قبل لفي ضلال مبين. فالمسلمون فالناس عامة وقت ما بعث النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كانوا في ضلال مبين, ولكن باتباع كتاب الله الذي أنزله على نبيه وباتباع بيان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لكتابه ودينه صاروا أفضل الناس وخير القرون الذين اهتدوا ثم صاروا هداة مهتدين. نعم.
حسن الله إليكم وبارك الله فيكم. أو الشيخ أبو أسامة وصي الله عباس حفظه الله تعالى, after praising الله سبحانه وتعالى and sending the salat and the taslim upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his family members and his companions, he said to proceed. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the guidance and the religion of the truth, so he can make it clear and will speak, so the haq will prevail over all the other religions. And he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a time when the people, they were on a clear misguidance. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, it is he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who sent his messenger with guidance and the haqqa. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has conferred upon the believers a great favor, that he has send to them among themselves a messenger to teach them the book and the wisdom and to purify them, even though before this they were on a clear misguidance. So he said the people, they were upon a clear error and misguidance, but since they followed the book of Allah and that which is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has made clear to them, these people who were on a darkness, in the ages of darkness, they become the best of the people and the best of generations. So therefore they become guided, and they guided other people to that which they were guided to. Naam ya Shaykh, ahsan Allahu ilayk.
Walamma atamma Allahu wa akmala deenahu ala yaday rasulihi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, بشر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بإكمال دينه بقوله عز وجل, اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. فقد كمل الدين في سورة كتاب الله وفي سورة سنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, أخذهما الصحابة علما واعتقادا وعملا, وبذلك انتهى الوقت الذي أرسل له النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, فالتحق بالرفيق الأعلى وذهب إلى ربه صلى الله عليه وسلم راضيا مرضيا, واستلم الأمر, أمر خلافة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صحابة رسول الله وعلى رأسهم الخلفاء الراشدون, ونشروا دين الله على ما أخذوا من كتاب الله وسنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. ولكن حذر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أمته من التفرق والاختلاف، وأمر باعتصام حبل الله في قوله تعالى: واعتصموا بحبل الله جميعا ولا تفرقوا. وكان التفرق حاصلا في المستقبل، فحذر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بالتفرق، وقال: عليكم بسنتي وسنة الخلفاء الراشدين، وقال: تركت فيكم أمرين لن تضلوا ما تمسكتم بهما. فحصل الخلاف، وترك كثير من الناس الجادة الواضحة والطريق الصحيح الذي تركه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لأمته. ولكن بشر صلى الله عليه وسلم في كل عصر وفي كل مصر في كل زمان وفي كل مكان بوجود طائفة ولو كانت قليلة من يدعو إلى الكتاب والسنة وإلى الدين الخالص الذي هو لله. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا تزال طائفة من أمتي ظاهرين على الحق حتى تقوم الساعة. فهؤلاء يكونون موجودين في خضم الطوائف المختلفة والفرق المتحزبة، ولكن ينصرهم الله تبارك وتعالى بحججهم وبما تمسكوا به من الكتاب والسنة على ما قال الله تعالى: ليظهره على الدين كله، سواء كانت أديانا سماوية قد حرفت أو آراء مختلفة التي استحدثت في الأمة. فبذلك نجد الحمد لله نحن امتدادا لعلم كتاب الله وسنة رسول الله من وقت ما ترك النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى يومنا هذا، يقوم له ناس منصورون بالحق. نعم.
أحسن الله إليك، بارك الله فيكم. أو الشيخ حفظه الله تعالى continues in saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completed his deen on the hand of his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He gave the good news and the glad tidings to his prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah said in the Quran, this day I have completed for you this religion, and I have completed and perfected my favors upon you, and I am pleased for you the Islam as a religion. He said, indeed, this deen is incomplete, this religion is complete, the book of Allah is complete, and the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is complete. And the Sahaba, the companions of Allah alayhim, they hold firm to the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in knowledge and belief and actions, in their knowledge and belief and actions. So by this, the time which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent to explain to the people, this deen has been expired. By this ayah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completed his deen, that time that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent to compared this deen was expired, and therefore he went and met his Lord while he was pleased with him, and Allah is pleased with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Sahaba ridwanullahi alaihim, they continue and on the top of the list, the Khulafa al-Rashidin, the four rightly guided the Khalifa. So they disseminated this deen following the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whereas the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has warned the Ummah from division and from splitting and from going against one another, and he commanded them to hold on firm to the book of Allah and to his sunnah. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, and hold on all of you together to the rope of Allah and don't be divided. He said, and also the division was to happen, would to happen in the future. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised us, and he said, hold on to my sunnah and the sunnah of the rightly guided Khalifa after me, bite on it with your molars. In another narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I left with you that which you hold on firm to them, you will never be astray. The book of Allah and my Sunnah. So he said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after warning the Ummah from the division, and yet this khilaf has occurred, and many people, they stayed away from the path. There is a clear, the correct path that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left for us. He said that, alhamdulillah, the good news that it will be in every time, in every place, in all times and places, it will remain a group of the people who will be upon the haqq. Even though they may be a few in number, but they will be upon the haqq, calling to Islam based on that which is in the book of Allah, the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, calling the people to the pure religion, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, will remain a group of my ummah, victorious upon the truth, victorious upon the truth. So he said they are present in every place and every time among the huge numbers of the deviant sects, those deviant sects who are upon Hizbiya and partnership. But he said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided them, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect them because of that which they hold on firm to his book and to the sunnah of his Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So because of their efforts and the guidance they are upon, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make his deen prevail over the rest of the religions. Whether those religions that actually the origin was from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they were altered and changed, or that was the people that innovated from things that are not from the religion. So the Shaykh has said, so therefore this knowledge we have and we worship Allah with, it came to us from the efforts of the previous Salaf, the people who, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them victory, and because they hold on firm to the book of Allah, to the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Naam, ya Shaykh Allah.
وَلَا شَكَّ أَنَّ الْإِخْتِلَافَ حَسَلَ فِي الْأُمَّةِ فِي أَقَائِدِهِمْ فنحن نرى الآن هذا في العقيدة الأشعري وذاك ما تريدي والثالث معتزلي والرابع شيعي وهكذا في الحقيقة بدون أي لبس في المسألة جاء الانتساب إلى كثير من المذاهب الفقهية وصار التعصب الشديد لهذه المذاهب بحيث يحارب بعضهم بعضا فهذه المحاربة وهذا الاختلاف لم يكن من دين الله في شيء وأن أئمتنا كلهم على طريقة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في العقيدة والعمل ولكن من قلدوهم تعصبوا لمذاهبهم في الفقه يا ليتهم كانوا أخذوا مذاهبهم على الأقل في العقيدة فهذا الإمام الطحاوي يكتب كتاب العقيدة التحاوية يقول في مقدمته هذا كتاب هذه عقيدة أبي حنيفة النعمان بن ثابت الإمام وصاحبيه أبي يوسف ومحمد بن الحسن لكن من من المنتسبين إلى الإمام يأخذ ما جاء في هذا الكتاب من العقيدة في مسائل كثيرة وهذا الكتاب بفضل الله يعني نال تحقيق الإمام العلامة شيخ ناصر الدين الألباني فألق في بعض المواضع التي وجد فيها بعض الاختلاف وإلا الكتاب أصله هو عقيدة سلفية صحيحة وجاء أبو العز الحنفي فشرع هذا الكتاب كذلك نقول إن التعصب للمذاهب صار إلى حد أنهم قسموا بيت الله تبارك وتعالى إلى أقسام وواحد لا يصلي وراء مقلد إمام آخر وهذا كله ليس من دين الله في شيء بدأوا يتركون الحديث الصحيح لأجل قول إمام ونحن نقول المنهج الصحيح للمسلم الذي هو عبارة عن الدين الخالص أنه إذا وجد شيء من المسائل في كتاب الله وسنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم منصوصا عليهما فلا يجوز لأحد من العلماء والعامة أن يختلفوا في هذه المسألة أما إذا كانت مسألة اجتهادية ف فيؤخذ قول أي إمام وكلهم أئمتنا ونحن نحترمهم وندعو لهم ونبذل لهم كل حب وتقدير فيؤخذ في مثل هذه الحالة قول أي إمام يكون أقرب إلى الكتاب والسنة كذلك يكون أيسر لأن الدين يسر وقد قال صلى الله عليه وسلم إنما بعثتم ميسرين ولم تبعثوا معسرين فلذلك يكون المسلمون جماعة واحدة وحزبا واحدا وهو حزب الله وكلهم أئمتنا يجب أن نستفيد من الجميع وبعد هذا نجد أن في الأمة أئمة وجدوا بفضل الله تعالى في كل زمان قادوا الأمة في موضع الخلاف من هؤلاء صاحب كتاب الدرر البهية الإمام الشوكاني الذي نذكر بعض ترجمته إن شاء الله الآن
أحسن الله إليكم وبارك الله فيكم Our Shaykh حفظه الله تعالى said no doubt that this division that has occurred it is something that is not from the correct Islam from the correct minhaj of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم So the reality these days and the true the time we find this is a Muslim who is Ash'ari, this is a Mu'tazili, this is a Khariji, this is a Shi'i, he said, and some of them, some other people, they ascribe themselves to a specific madhab and a way of thought and a school of thought of fiqh, and they fight for it and they pay the allegiance for it, and certain people they fight one another. The people that follow this imam, they fight against other people who follow the other imam. He said, Alhamdulillah, all the a'imma, they are the a'imma of Islam. The a'imma, they are the a'imma of the Islam. So we should not just choose one of them and then neglect the others and show enmity and hatred for those who they may take from another imam. He said, so therefore, ya ibadallah, we have to follow the correct aqidah from the book of Allah and from the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And all this imma he said of al-Islam, he said, it will be a beautiful thing if those people who they ascribe themselves to one particular school of thought, if at least they follow the imam in his aqidah, they will be successful. They've been doing good. But he said, but the problem, they don't follow them in their aqidah. It is as al-Imam al-Tahawi, rahimahullahu ta'ala, who mentioned in his book Al-Aqidah Tahawiyyah and in his Muqaddimah in fighting the people to follow in the truth, to follow the Haqq and to not to fall into the ta'assub, into imitating and following one imam. He said, rather you have to follow the Haqq and the truth. And this book is being checked by Al-Imam Al-Albani. And he said, this book, the foundation of this book and the Aqidah is Aqidah Salafiyya upon that was the Salaf were upon. And the book is also is explained by Ibn Abi al-Izz al-Hanafi, rahimahullahu ta'ala. He said, and from excessiveness and ignorance of the people, that some of the tribes and some of the people who they ascribe themselves to a particular school of thought, they even find themselves not praying behind other people who they ascribe themselves to another school of thought. And he said, this is a mistake. And this is not from the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is not from that which it is the minhaj that is correct. Rather, he said, we should not blindly follow an imam and not to follow the other imam. Rather, the minhaj of sahih, the correct minhaj. He said, if there is, for example, an issue, if there is an issue in this deen, that the texts are clear in the book of Allah and in the sunnah of the Messenger of Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Shaykh Wasiyullah Azad, Habibahullah Ta'ala said, so therefore it is not permissible for any from the ulama, from the scholars to go against the texts that are found in the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He said that if the issue is an issue of ijtihad, so therefore we take the statements and the opinion of the imam who was close to the haqq and to the truth, close to that which is in the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, And although we take the opinion of the Imam, it is easy for the people, because his deen, he said, it was designated upon, isn't it? But they are all our Imam. We respect all of them. We love all of them. We make dua for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to all of them. But we choose in this case the one who is closest to that which is in the book of Allah and the Sunnah. And the one who his opinion is easy for the people, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, indeed you will stand as a people to give a good tidings and not to repel the people away from deen. So he said that the Muslims, they follow the Hizbiyah, and the people, they follow a particular people or particular madhab. Rather, we should be all upon one Hizb. This Ummah will be upon one party, the party of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore we have to benefit from all the A'immah, all the scholars of Al-Islam, and all the four of the A'immah of Al-Islam. And likewise he said, through time there was other Imams and other eminent and great scholars in every time, and from amongst them this Imam and this Allama and scholar, the author of this book, Ad-Durar Al-Bahiyyah, Al-Allama Al-Shawkani, Muhammad ibn Ali Al-Shawkani, رحمه الله تعالى. He said that he's going to bring you his brief biography right now. نعم يا شيخ أحسن الله إليك.
والإمام الشوكاني المشهور بالشوكاني رحمه الله اسمه محمد بن علي بن محمد محمد بن علي بن محمد بن عبد الله الشوكاني ثم الصنعاني. والشوكاني نسبة إلى هجرة شوكان. هجرة هي قرية تعتبر قرية بين شوكان وبين صنعاء مسافة يوم على ما يقولون، والآن يعني ما ندري كم بالكيلوات. والصنعاني نسبة إلى صنعاء عاصمة اليمن، لأنه ولد في شوكان ثم عاش في صنعاء وكانت أعماله وتدريسه في صنعاء، فلذلك يقال الشوكاني ثم الصنعاني رحمة الله عليه. فولد رحمه الله في 1173 الهجرية. ورحمه الله لم كان من صغره نشا كما ينشأ أترابه بمدينة صنعاء أحد العواصم العربية المعروفة في تلك الأيام، وكان فيها ما علماء المذاهب المختلفة التي نذكر شيئا منها في حياته أو في حالة أسره. كان فيها علماء سلفيون الذين يتبعون الكتاب والسنة في العقيدة والعمل، ما الأخذ والاستفادة من جميع الأئمة. وكانت فيها أحزاب وفرق مختلفة التي هي لا شك فيها من الفرق التي لم يقرها الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. فقدر الله تبارك وتعالى أن يكون هذا العالم قائدا وإماما للأمة ومصلحا لقطر من القطر من الأقطار العربية الإسلامية الأولى التي لها فضل عند الله وعند رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. ففضل أو بين النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فضيلة اليمن. فكان رحمه الله تعلم من العلماء السلفيين وأخذ كلام الآخرين وأقوال الآخرين ومذاهب الآخرين. وكان والده في ذلك الوقت قاضي صنعاء ومن العلماء البارزين فيها، يمتاز بالصلاح والتقوى أيضا. القضاة إذا أثنى عليهم أهل عصرهم فهم من القضاة الصالحين. فكان رحمه الله معروفا بالأدرة في الأحكام، فقيها واعيا أيضا على دراية كاملة بعلوم الشريعة. فلما لمس النجابة في ابنه محمد بن علي والذكاء أخذ يقدم له خلاصة علمه وتجاربه، فكانت أول دراساته دراسات الإمام محمد بن علي الشوكاني على أبيه علي بن محمد الشوكاني الصنعاني، ولم يكتفي بوالده ولم يكتفي بشيخ أو بعدة شيوخ، لكن الذي يقرأ كتاب إتحاف الأكابر بإسناد الدفاتر يظهر أن هذا الإمام كان مشغوفا وملهوفا للقاء أي واحد من العلماء الذين يسمع فيهم العلم والزهد والتقوى، فأخذ عن العلماء البارزين من علماء عصره والمتخصصين في مختلف العلوم الشرعية واللغوية والعقلية حتى الرياضية والفلكية كان بارعا فيه رحمه الله. نعم.
أحسن الله إليك. هو الشيخ حفظه الله تعالى continue by saying, so by bringing a brief biography of the Imam al-Shawkani, he is an Imam who is a well known with this nickname al-Shawkani. Al-Shawkani, but his name is Muhammad ibn Ali ibn Muhammad ibn Abdullah al-Shawkani, then al-Sanani. And he said on the fact that he is known by this al-Shawkani, because he was born and he's from this village, Hazra is a village in Shawkan. And it said in Shawkan, and this Hazra is between Shawkan and Sana'a. And that which was the distance that was that is between Shawkan and Sana'a, which is the capital of Yemen, is the distance that a person will walk for all day. He said today how many kilos or miles, he said, Allahu A'lam. He said, and then As-San'ani, also he's known by this nickname As-San'ani because of Sana'a, because of Sana'a, which is the capital of Yemen. So he is a Shawkani because he was born in Shawkan, so that's why they call him a Shawkani, and therefore he moved to Sana'a, and therefore he lived in there and studied, began his studies in there. So that's why he's also called As-San'ani, because of Sana'a. He said he was born, rahimahullah, in the year 1173 of the Hijrah. And he said from his early ages, he grows in Sana'a amongst other children. And in Sana'a, there was many scholars, contains many scholars, and also other madahid and different the schools of thought, that we will mention some of them. He said there was ulama, salafiyun, scholars that are salafiyun, that they always come from the book of Allah, the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the issues of aqidah and the actions and the actions of worship. Likewise was other different groups and deviant groups, they were divided and from those sects that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam warn us against. He said, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed that this alim and this scholar who brought a reform to the ummah, and he was the advisor and he gave a sincere advice to the ummah, and especially in that land and this the country of Yemen, that its virtue it is well known with Allah and with his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, indeed, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned many times in authentic narration the virtue of Yemen. He said, so this a noble scholar, he starts learning under the ulama al-salafiyin, the ulama of al-salaf, and he also he took some of the statements and he learned some of the statements of the other people, and so he could be aware of the which they be, whom they are upon. He said, as for his father, he was the judge of Sana'a, and he was a alim, he was a scholar himself, his father, and he was a pious and a righteous. And he said, and if you find, for example, in the biography that the judges they were mentioned with good, that's because of their nobility and because of the knowledge they have. So his father was the like of those people, he was a faqih. He has a person who has knowledge of the fiqh, jurisprudence, and he has knowledge of the sciences of the legislation of Al-Islam. He said, so when his father saw from his son that he is very intelligent and he has this zeal and he's zealous and eager and keen to learn, so he started teaching him in brief and in summary that which his father knew. So the Shaykh said that the first classes and the first thing that the Imam al-Shawkani has learned is learned from his father. But he said this Imam, this Alim who was very young at that time, and Imam al-Shawkani, he said he wasn't restricted just to his father or to one Shaykh or two or three or five. Rather, he used to sit with many, many people of knowledge to learn from them. And you can check and read the book and find in the book named Ishaq al-Akabir. You will find in there how this young man, he was eager and keen and zealous to wait for the scholars. When he know the scholars are coming to Sana'a, he will wait for them and sit with them, especially those eminent scholars in his time who they succeed in different fields of the legislation and also in the language. He said he was, and he learned from them, even those people who they were in math. He said Imam al-Shawkani, not only that he was a scholar and he learned a great deal of knowledge from the legislation, but also in math and in astrology and the like of this. Naam ya Shaykh, sallallahu alayhi wa
sallam. Wa lamma تشبه الإمام الشوكاني من العلوم الشرعية وما يساعد الشريعة علوم الشريعة من العلوم الأخرى فرأى أن يقوم بإصلاح أحوال بلده وكانت الحالة السياسية في عصر الشوكاني رحمه الله مضطربة في حالات من القلق والاضطراب الدائم والفتن المستمرة بين القبائل وكذلك بين الدول الكبرى، فتمعت الدول الكبرى في اليمن محاولة استيلاء عليها، ويظهر هذا النوع من المحاولات فيما كتب الشوكاني رحمه الله بعض الوقائع في كتابه البدر التالع، واستمرت هذه الحالة أيضا في عصر الشوكاني، وكانت الدولة العثمانية أيضا على حرب مستمرة مع اليمن حتى في عصر الشوكاني وما بعده، والذي نذكر أن الحرب بين الدولة الزيدية اليمنية وبين الحكومة العثمانية ما انتهت إلا في 1335 على ما يذكرون، إلا أن الإمام الشوكاني رحمه الله لما رأى هذه الحالة أيضا كان متوجعا متألما كثيرا من هذه الحالة، فيذكر أن سبب هذه كلها عدم اللجوء إلى الله تبارك وتعالى وترك شريعة الله تبارك وتعالى. نجد هذا الجانب من التنديد في كتبه الكثيرة. فإذا رأينا الحالة العلمية في عصر الشوكاني لليمن، ففي الحقيقة اليمن التي قال فيها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الإيمان يمان والحكمة يمانية، تحولت إلى مكان تعيش فيه أهواء مختلفة وأقائد مختلفة، فكانت فيها في تلك الأيام المعتزلة الذين يعتبرون أتباع واصف بن عطاء، كذلك العشائرة أتباع الإمام ابن الحسن الأشعري أيضا، و لا شك أن هذه العقيدة التي جاءت عقيدة الاعتزال وعقيدة الأشعرية مخالفة، وهاتين العقيدتين مخالفتان لعقيدة الصحابة الذين أخذوها عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وعن جبريل وعن الله عز وجل، فوجد من في هذا الجانب مخالفات كثيرة. ثم أيضا كانت على أرض اليمن في تلك الأيام فرقة الباطنية، وهي التي تدعي أنها من الشيعة لكن ظاهرها وإن كانت تظهر الإسلام والتشيع لآل البيت إلا أن باطنها الكفر الصراح في الحقيقة تؤول، وهذا معروف من قرأ العقائد الإسلامية المختلفة المنتسبة إلى الإسلام، فهذه العقيدة تحول نصوص القرآن الكريم وتحول إلى هواها حتى تتوافق هذه النصوص مع ما تدعو إليه. أيضا تشكك في الأحاديث المروية عن طريق أهل السنة والجماعة. أيضا كانت هناك فرقة الزيدية الذين ينتسبون إلى التصوف إلى التشيع، وفيهم مخالفات كثيرة وترك للسنة، ما أن زيدية اليمن على مد القرون كانوا كثير منهم خرج علماء كثيرون منهم على طريقة أهل السنة، إلا أنهم بدأوا يغرقون أنفسهم في التشيع المذموم واختلفوا مع أهل السنة في أشياء كثيرة. كما كان يعيش في زمن الشوكاني رحمه الله، وقد يكون في هذا الزمن أيضا وما قبله، قوم معروفون بالتصوف أو المتصوفة. لأن نقول أولا هذه الكلمة متصوف في الحقيقة كلمة مستحدثة في اصطلاحات الشرع الإسلامي ولم تكن في عهد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. إن كان التصوف بمعنى الزهد فهيا حالا بهذا التصوف، وإن كان هو ترك الدنيا وعبادة الله تعالى للسنة فمبارك، لكن التصوف إذا كان الهدف منه إلى أن يصل إلى ترك أوامر الله تعالى وكذلك الانحلال من التكاليف الشرعية فهذا لا شك فيه أنه كفر بواح. فكان هذا التصوف أيضا موجودا في عهده رحمه الله. الحاصل هناك كانت أهواء مختلفة، فطالع بنظر الطبيب النطاسي رحمه الله الطبيب الماهر أحوال بلاده، فشمر أنساق الجد وقام بإصلاح البلاد بمحاضراته ودروسه وتآليفه الكثيرة في كل مجال من المجالات. نعم رحمه الله.
والشيخ حفظه الله تعالى continued by saying, so once this Imam Nana Shawkani rahimahullah ta'ala has learned a great deal in different fields of the legislation and also in other fields that help him achieving a better understanding of the text, he said he finds himself now ready to start the islah, the reform in his country, Al Yemen. He said, and we would like to talk to you about the political situation at that time. There was a lot of disturbance, a lot of trials, a lot of fighting between the tribes in Yemen. Likewise, there was a lot of fighting and opposition between the Yemen and between the major countries at that time. He said all this because a lot of other countries, they want to establish their power over the Yemen, and therefore Yemen become one of their colonies. He said this is found in many of the books and the work of Al-Imam al-Shawkani, especially his book Al-Badru al-Tali'. He said, and this situation persists, and also the Spain, the Spanish people and the country of Spain, they were always in conflict with Yemen, and they engaged in war of Yemen. Likewise, the Zaydiya, the Zawla, the country of the tribe of the Zaydiya, who were in Yemen, that they used to fight against the... And he said that this war against the Ottomans, the Ottomani, ends, as they said, on the 13th and 35th of the Hijra. He said, so, Sultan Imam al-Shawkani, when he sees this disturbance, he was, that made him very, very sad to see his country like this and these trials. And he said, and he came to conclusion that these problems and these disturbance, they occurred because of the people, they turned away from the legislation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, he said, you will find that he mentioned many, many of these things and this disturbance in many of his books. As for the knowledge and the science of knowledge in Yemen in his time, he said, of, indeed, Allah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Iman is Yemeni. And the wisdom is Yemeni as well. He said that this expression and these expressions that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has praised the people of Yemen, it turns actually in his time to Yemen become a place of desire, and a people have different desires, and a people they have different beliefs, because there was the people of the Mu'tazila at that time in Yemen who followed Wasil ibn Ata, and also the Ash'ari who followed Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ari, and he said no doubt that these two beliefs, these two doctrines are against and in opposition of the aqidah of the companions Ridwanullahi alayhim. This aqidah that the companions, they took from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who took it from Jibreel alayhi salam, who bring it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said likewise it was a group of the Batiniyah, the Batini, who even though they manifest openly the tashayyi from the Shia, but inwardly they were kuffar and disbelievers, wal'iyadu billah. Because this group, they alter the text, follow so they can, they change the text so they can follow their desires, and they can agree with that which they call to. Likewise, this deviant group, they used to bring doubt to the text of the authentic narration that comes from the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Likewise, this group of Al-Zaydiyah, Al-Shi'iyah, who have many, many mukhalafat, and they go against the minhaj of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. But the Zaydiyah at that time in Yemen, he said that many scholars who own the Sunnah, they came from them. And then after that, they start to go away a little bit further away from the minhaj of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And he said, and in his time likewise, there was a people who, they are from Mutasawwifa. And he said, and first of all, this world, it is an innovated world. It is invented. And in the terminology of the deen, of the legislation. And he was not in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even though he said this tasawwuf, if he was to cut down from the dunya and focus on that which the Prophet ﷺ was upon his companions and the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, this is a blessed way. But for certain people that they use this tasawwuf so they can escape the commands of Allah, and they said they are not, they are exempt from the commands of Allah, and also some of the things that are haram become permissible for them. He said, A'udhu Billah, this is a clear disbelief, wal'iyadu Billah. So he says, since Imam al-Shawkani, he saw all these disturbance. He saw that which his country is suffering from in his time, so he started the reform in his country by giving lectures, classes, by compiling books that calling the people to true Islam upon the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Naam ya Shaykh, sallallahu alayhi
wa لا مهما أطلنا لا نقدر أن نفي بترجمته في هذه العجالة. فيمكننا أن نقول أنه لما استعد لمجابهة ومحاربة العقائد الباطلة وكذلك محاربة الفساد السائد في المجتمع اليمني قام رحمه الله بتأليف كتب كثيرة في جميع أبواب الفقه الإسلامي الذي يحتاج إليه المسلمون. ففي الحقيقة إذا لخصنا دعوته سواء كان بالدروس أو محاضرات وكذلك من ناحية التأليف، فهو في الحقيقة يعني تتلخص دعوته إلى العقيدة السلفية في وضوحها ويسرها من غير دخول في علم الكلام والفلسفة التي أفسدت للناس عقائدهم، والتي كانت العقيدة السلفية التي كانت أيام الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم والصحابة يعتقدوها. أيضا دعوته، أيضا الجانب الثاني من دعوته تطهير العقيدة وتنقيتها من مظاهر الشرك صغارها وكبارها. دعوته إلى الاجتهاد ونبذ التقليد في الأعمال أيضا. فالسلفية عقيدة وعملا كانت هي دعوة شيخ الإسلام الإمام الشوكاني رحمه الله. وعلى هذا نجد بفضل الله تعالى وفقه الله تبارك وتعالى لترك تراث هائل كبير من تأليفاته. ويجب على كل عالم من وفقه الله تبارك وتعالى أن يفيد الأمة أن يترك وراءه من تأليفاته حتى يستفاد منه ويستفيد هو منه أيضا. فإذا قرأوا، ونحن إذا قرأنا الآن كتب فنقول رحمه الله ما أبرأه وما أمهره في علم كتاب الله وسنة رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. مؤلفاته تذكر أنها أكثر من 300 كتاب مؤلف، ومنها كثير منها متبوعة. فنجد في التفسير على ما ذكروا خمسة من الكتب، منها فتح القدير الكتاب العظيم، وكذلك له كتاب مطلع البدرين ومجمع البحرين في التفسير أوسع من كتابه فتح القدير. في يذكر أنه في مجلدات، ست مجلدات كبار. وكذلك في الحديث نجد له كتبا كثيرة وبحوثا منفصلة، مثل الأبحاث الوضيئة في الكلام على حديث واحد، الدنيا رأس كل خطيئة. كذلك إتحاف المهرة على حديث لا أدوى ولا طيرة. مثل هذه البحوث أيضا كثيرة. أما في الحديث وخاصة في فقه الحديث فكتب كتابه شرحا لكتاب المنتقى نيل الأوطار، يدل هذا العلم، هذا الكتاب على علم جم وعلى استيعاب لمذاهب الأئمة. كذلك في علم العقيدة له كتب كثيرة تذكر وبعضها متبوعة. كذلك في علم الفقه بحوث كثيرة منفردة. وقلنا في فقه الكتاب والسنة أعظم كتاب له هو هذا الكتاب الدر البهيئة، وبهيئة المختصرة المعتصرة كأنها بحر ملئ في كوزة. لو وصفنا بهذا الوصف لكان يعني ينطبق عليه. فذكر يعني القول الراجح رحمه الله معتصرة من أدلة كثيرة. وكتابه نيل الأوطار يكون كتابا مفصلا في الفقه أو في فقه الكتاب والسنة رحمه الله تبارك وتعالى. كتب كذلك في الرد على التصوف كتب كتاب الصوارم الحداد القاطعة لعلى عائق مقالات ذوي الإلحاد. كذلك الصوارم الحداد القاطعة لعلى عائق مقالات أرباب الاتحاد، كتابان يذكران في هذا الباب. وعنده بحوث أخرى كثيرة جدا المطبوع من كتبه التي يمكن أن نذكر ولا حاجة في الترجمة إليه للإشارة إليه، إتحاف الأكابر بإسناد الدفاتر، يدل على أنه كم أخذ من العلوم من علم الحديث من كم من المشايخ عن طريقهم، يذكر فيها إجازاته. وإبطال دعوى الإجماع على مطلق السماء الذين يسمعون الأغاني وغيرها، إرشاد الثقات إلى اتفاق الشرائع للتوحيد والمعاد والنبوات، إرشاد الفضول إلى تحقيق الحق من علم الوصول، وصول الفقه الصحيح الفقه المستنبت من الكتاب والسنة. قد ذكر في كتابه هذا إرشاد الفضول. ونحن نعرف أن أصحاب كل مذهب لهم وجهات مختلفة في أصولهم فيكتبون على حسب أصول أئمتهم، لكن الشوكاني رحمه الله ألف هذا الكتاب لبيان الحق في الأصول التي هي تتمشى مع الكتاب والسنة وعقائد الصحابة رضوان الله عليهم أجمعين. كذلك الكتاب مهم جدا هو بحث في الولي وما يتعلق بما ينبغي أن نكون نعتقد في الأولياء، قطر الولي في شرح حديث الولي. هذا الكتاب مهم جدا وهو في أكثر من 300 صفحة في شرح حديث واحد، لكنه أخذ موضوع الولاية ومن يكون وليا لله تعالى بتفصيل لا يوجد في مكان آخر. له كتاب في تراجم علماء القرن السابع ومن بعده، التاسع ومن بعده، البدر الطالب بمحاصيل من بعد القرن التاسع، وتحفة الذاكرين له شرح في كتاب لكتاب عدة الحسن العسين، كتب كثيرة بفضل الله تعالى، التحف في مذاهب السلف، تنبيه الأفاضل على ما ورد من زيادة العمر ونقصه من الدلائل، أيضا الكتاب الدراري المضيء نفسه شرح الدراري البهية، والسيل الجرار لا ينسى في هذا الباب في كتاب وهو فقه أهل الحديث الحقيقة أو فقه السنة، كتاب هناك حدائق الأزهار لبعض علماء اليمن شرحه شرحا سلفيا جزاه الله خيرا في 4 مجلدات مطبوع. كذلك الفوائد المجموعة في الأحاديث المجموعة الموضوعة طبع في الهند وطبعه النواب صديق حسن خان رحمه الله في 1203 ثم طبع في البلاد العربية. فالحاصل رحمه الله قد جعل نصب عينيه محاربة البدع وتثبيت العقيدة الصحيحة وتثبيت الفقه الصحيح في الناس من غير تعصب لأحد إلا لله ولرسوله. وكانت حياته بفضل الله تعالى مليئة، وقد أثر علمه هذا حتى خارج اليمن، فجاء إليه العلماء الطلبة من بلاد مختلفة زرافات وهدانة يتعلمون منه وينحلون من معينه الصافي في العقيدة الصافية الخالصة وفي الفقه الكتاب والسنة، حتى انتشر علمه في بلاد كثيرة. وفي آخر الزمان الشيخ نواب صديق حسن خان رحمة الله عليه أخذ واستفاد من كتبه الكثيرة فأفاد الأمة بها كثيرا. ندعو الله تبارك وتعالى أن يرحم هذا الإمام الجليل، توفي بعد عمر حافل في العلم والتدريس والوعظ والإرشاد وتفقيه الناس عقيدة وشريعة، في توفي في 1250 من هجرة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم رحمه الله رحمة واسعة. نعم.
أحسن الله إليكم ومبارك فيكم. الشيخ حفظه الله تعالى said, no matter how much time we may spend, we will never be able to bring you all that which is due to this great Imam and Imam al-Shawkani. But he would say that this Imam رحمه الله تعالى he stood firm against the corrupt ideologies and the corrupt beliefs, and so he can correct the corruption that was spread among the community, the Yemeni community. So that's why he compiled and wrote many books in fiqh, that the people, they are in dire need for it. The Muslims, they are in dire need for it. So he has many classes and many books that was compiled, and he said in his da'wah, and his call in reality was call to the da'wah salafiyyah. Without him involving himself in the ilm al-kalam, the rhetoric, يعني عقيدة أقام بعقيدة أفصلت رضوان الله عليهم وثقافة صلى الله عليه وسلم والزقام. So from his goals and his دعوة
نكمل هذا ترجمة from the shirk
that's why we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted success. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him the success and he left behind many compiled books. So therefore it is incumbent upon any scholar to try to compile and leave behind him that which will benefit the ummah. He said, and look at us, whenever we mention his name we say rahimahullah, may Allah have mercy upon him. He said the people of knowledge, they mentioned that which he compiled and the volumes and the books that the Imam al-Shawkani compiled are more than 300 books. A lot of them have been printed and they are available and published. So he said from them in Tafsir, he has many books in Tafsir, but mention one of them is Al-Qadir, Alhamdulillah, and also Matla' al-Badrain, which is more extended than Fath al-Qadir in some six huge volumes. In Hadith, he has many books. He said like Al-Abhat and researches like research in Al-Abhat al-Wadi'a pertaining to one Hadith, and also Ishaf al-Mahara pertaining to the Hadith there is no Adwa and no Tayara. Likewise in the Fiqh he has his main book Mail al-Awtar that shows that this man has a great understanding of the deen and that he would have a great deal of understanding the ilm and the fiqh of the different schools of thought. Likewise in the aqidah he has many books in the aqidah. Likewise in the fiqh he has the book that we were about, he said inshallah ta'ala to start to explain, he said Ad-Dura al-Bahiyya, he said subhanallah, he said we can say that the ilm and the knowledge that is contained in this so summarized and condensed book is as an ocean in a little bottle. If you can have an ocean in a little bottle, he said in it, he mentioned the most authentic opinion and it is a summarized and a brief, but in Mail al-Awtar is more expanded book on Book of Fiqh. Likewise he refuted the people of Sufiyya the Tasawwuf in his book As-Sawarim al-Qati'a and other books. Likewise he has many different researches and his books Alhamdulillah he said and some of them, a lot of them have been published and they are available, and many people they are using these books and benefiting from their books, like the Irshad al-Siqat and Irshad al-Fuhul, and this is book in Ilm al-Usul, and because his fiqh, he said, he was based on that which is taken from the Book of Allah, that takes from the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said, we all know that those people who follow a particular thought and a school of thought, you will find in their books that they follow a particular foundation and a principles that their imams and their scholars they left for them. He said that Imam al-Shawkani in his books, rahimahullah ta'ala, he followed the text from the Quran and from the Sunnah that was the Sahaba, the companions ridwanullahi alayhim, they were upon. So his books, he said, they are of extreme importance from them. He has a very, very important book pertaining to the Wali. Who is the Wali? Because he explained in the Hadith of the Wali and how to be a Wali from the Awliya of Allah in more than 300 pages. Likewise, he has another great book in bringing the biography of the ulama. Bringing the biographies of the ulama. You gotta bring the biographies of the ulama. He said from the 9th century and after that. Tuhfat al-Zakirin, Tuhfat al-Sunan, and then he has the Durar al-Madiyya, which is the explanation of Durar al-Bahiyya. And also he has a seat al Jarrah, and that some of the scholars of the Yemen, they explained it. And likewise al Fawaid al Majmu'ah and al Futu'ah.
Allah
Ibarak fi kashir. Now the Sheikh Imam al-Shawkani, the Sheikh, our Sheikh Wasiyullah Abbas Hafidhullah Ta'ala said, so in brief, the Sheikh in his books, you will find that he fought against innovation, and he established the correct aqidah, the aqidah salafiyyah, and you find that in his belief in the fiqh, and his fiqh is a correct and sound, free of ta'assub, free of imitating and blindly following statement of any imam. Rather, he used to follow the text of the book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's why his impact was known in, and alhamdulillah, bring a lot of benefit in Yemen and other than Yemen. So many students, they came to him from different places and areas to learn from him, to learn from his clear knowledge, the aqidah that is pure and correct. So alhamdulillah, in many of his books are disseminated and taught. He said in the end of his time, Imam Muhsin Sadiq Khan Hafidahu Rahimahullah as well, he benefited a great deal from his books. He taught his books, he explained many of his works, and he called to that which the Shaykh was upon. He said, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have mercy upon him. And he said, the Shaykh Imam al-Shawkani, he died after a long life that he spent in learning, teaching, admonishing the people, correcting the aqidah of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and he died in the year 1250 of the Hijrah. Na'am al-Shaykh, sallallahu alayhi.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وبعد ذلك هذا الكتاب الذي بين أيدينا بفضل الله تعالى الدرر البهية نعم كتاب الشوكاني رحمه الله الدرر البهية هذا الكتاب مما ألفه الشوكاني رحمه الله مختصرا ثم زاد شرحه بنفسه وسماه الدراري المضية شرحه الدرر البهية فكان الشرح لا شك فيه أنه مفيد واستفاد به الأمة ونال هذا الكتاب تعليق الإمام الألباني رحمه الله الذي أظهره الله تبارك وتعالى في هذه القرون المتأخرة بعد قرون متطاولة قد انطفى علم الحديث ولم يبقى تعامل الناس إلا قليلا منه تحلة للقسم أو تبركا وهذه الحقيقة فالمدارس إذا راجعنا تواريخ المدارس في الشام في مصر وكذلك في الهند فأكثرهم كانوا معتكفين منكبين على كتب المذاهب الخاصة سواء كانت فيها آراء ضعيفة أو صحيحة وكانوا يعملون بها ويدل على أنهم لم يكونوا يعتنون بعلم الحديث دراسة محققة تحقيقية يدل على ذلك تآليفهم التي توجد فيها أشياء كثيرة من الأحاديث الضعيفة والموضوع حتى الموضوع ففي القرن الحادي عشر والثاني عشر هذه كلها قرون نعتبرها كانت خالية من علم الحديث أو عمل علم الحديث إنما كان الناس يتبركون بأخذ الإجازات فربما يجلس كما نقرأ في كتاب الفاسي التاريخ البلد اليمين الإحدى السمين نجد أن بعضهم ينهي في خلال مدة غير معقولة يذهب ويطلع على غار حراء وفي غار حراء يقرأ على فلان صحيح البخاري في ساعات وينتهي منه ويأخذ الإجازة فمثل هذه كانت تبركات حاصلة لكن العمل الحقيقي للحديث التصحيح والتضييف والتمييز الصحيح من الضعيف كان مقدرا لهذا الإمام الجليل الألباني رحمه الله فوفقه الله تبارك وتعالى وصنعه بيده وكرمه حتى وفقه من صغره أن يتعلم العقيدة الصحيحة ثم العلم الصحيح فعمل عليه كتاب الله وسنة رسوله شيئا كثيرا، وترك وراءه ذخيرة كبيرة يستفاد منها أو تستفيد الأمة منها. فألق عليه رحمه الله ودرس، كان يدرس هذا الكتاب رحمه الله، فأحري بهذا الكتاب أن يكون في دراسة السلفيين خاصة الذين يريدون الحق في المسائل. ونال من اعتناء أخينا علي الحلبي أيضا حفظه الله، وهو نعرف من أبر تلامذة الشيخ الألباني رحمه الله، استفاد منه شيئا كثيرا. ولا نزكي على الله أحد، قد يكون يتكلم في بعضهم بعض هذه الأشياء ينبغي أن يطوى ولا يروى، وفي الحقيقة رجل عالم فاضل استفاد من علمه ومن تحقيقاته، وهو صاحب عقيدة صحيحة، إن كان قد اختار بعض المسائل فقد اختار من قبل علماء فلا يلام هو فيه أيضا. فالحاصل أن هذا الكتاب الدورة البهية من أعظم الكتب، وشرحه الشيخ نواف صديق حسن خان رحمه الله. نترجم له مختصرا إن شاء الله لأن الوقت طال، أن نواف صديق حسن خان أيضا آية من آيات الله تبارك وتعالى في تلك البلاد التي تسمى بلاد الهند، في وقت كان الناس قد انصرفوا إلى العقيدة غير الصحيحة قطعا.
الشيخ لو سمحتم الأخ يترجم أولا ثم
He said, and after this brief biography, we mentioned this book, Ad-Durar al-Bahiyya, and if that it is from that which the Shaykh, Imam al-Shawkani, has compiled, and it is summarized, and then after a while he expanded on it by explaining himself in another book that he called Ad-Durar al-Mudiyya. And he said, and the Ummah has benefited a great deal from this book. And one of the great scholars of this time, Imam al-Albani, rahimahullah ta'ala, has his comment on this book, walhamdulillah. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from his hikmah, he has always bringing in every time scholars who come and renovate and call the people to the deen. He said, especially after many, many ages and centuries that the people may be upon upon confusion. He said, if we look at the history of the schools of thought, you find in Syria, in the Sham, and the Syria area, or Egypt, or the India, you find that the majority of the people, they were just restricting themselves on that which it is found in the books of the school of thought they belong to, and they didn't have no knowledge of the science of hadith. They didn't have no knowledge to check the narration whether they are authentic or weak. They said sometimes you find them, they act upon narrations that are even fabricated just because they are found in those books that they find and they are taught in their schools of thought. He said, and the Imam al-Albani, rahimahullah ta'ala, he came and he checked this narration, rahimahullah ta'ala, and because which Allah has given him in the knowledge of hadith and the science of hadith. He said, but as opposed to the people before him, you find them, they used to finish books, seeking and searching the blessings, and he said, that's what we can attribute to them. He said, you find one of them, for example, he will go and read the whole Sahih al-Bukhari in the cave of Hira, and one of the people of knowledge, in couple hours, and then he will give him the ijazah. And he will say, okay, you have read and completed the Bukhari on me. So that Imam al-Albani, rahimahullah ta'ala, who his aqidah is sahiha and sound, and he has left a great deal of knowledge that benefited the people, and especially in the fields of hadith. He said, and Imam al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala himself, he used to teach this book to his students. So he said, it is a part of the Salafiyin who wants to have a sound fiqh of the deen of Allah to take a good importance and to give a good importance to this book and study it and teach it. Likewise, he said, our brother, Sheikh Ali Al-Halabi, حفظه الله تعالى, he has his comments, and he took good care of this book, الدرر المضية, with the comments of the Sheikh Al-Albani, رحمه الله تعالى. He said, as for Sheikh Ali Al-Halabi, we know him. He is from the most important and the most kind and gentle from the students of Al-Imam Al-Albani to his Sheikh Al-Imam Al-Albani. We don't, we're not trying to put anyone above the position that Allah has put him in. He is known with his salafiyya and with his knowledge. Al-Imam Al-Albani, he was a'alim fadil, a main scholar, one of the main scholars of the deen of Al-Islam. He said, and also that which shows the importance of this book, and that Ad-Dirar al-Bahiyya, it was explained by one of the main scholars of this deen, one of the gifts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent to this ummah, to which is Siddiq Hasan Khan, rahimahullah ta'ala, who is from India. And also he said, in his time, the India, they were suffering from the same thing that other places they were suffering, where the people, they are not upon the correct fiqh of the deen. And تفضل يا شيخ بارك الله فيك.
ونال من اعتناء أخينا علي الحلبي أيضا حفظه الله, وهو نعرف من أبر تلامذة الشيخ الألباني رحمه الله, استفاد منه شيئا كثيرا. ولا نذكر الله أحد, قد يكون يتكلم في بعضهم بعض الأشياء ينبغي أن يطوى ولا يروى. وفي الحقيقة رجل عالم فاضل يستفاد من علمه ومن تحقيقاته, وهو صاحب عقيدة صحيحة, إن كان قد اختار بعض المسائل فقد اختار من قبل علماء فلا يلام هو فيه أيضا. فالحاصل أن هذا الكتاب الدرر البهية من أعظم الكتب.
So the Sheikh حفظه الله, he went on to say, and this book has been tended to as well by our brother Sheikh Ali Al-Halabi, may Allah preserve him, حفظه الله. So this book has been tended to by the Sheikh Ali Al-Halabi as well, and he is well known. He's a well-known student of a Sheikh Al-Albani, rahimahullah, and from his most bar, most obedient and fulfilling of his rights toward the Sheikh. And he studied upon the Sheikh and benefited much from him. He benefited greatly from his Sheikh, rahimahullah. And we do not praise anyone past their given praise. That we do not put anyone, we do not give anyone praise past their due praise, nor a position past their due position. And even if some of them, they speak against the Sheikh and things like this, then these are things that should be avoided and rejected and not narrated and spread. As the Sheikh said, these are things that should yutwa wa la yurwa. And the Sheikh Ali Al-Halabi in reality is a man that is a scholar and a man of nobility and honor, and his knowledge and his work and his tahqiq, that is his checking, has been beneficial and has been benefited from by the people. And he is a friend or a bearer of the correct and pure aqidah, that is the correct belief, even if he has taken positions on certain issues in which the previous ulama have taken the same positions on those issues. The ulama from before him have taken these positions, and he and these are positions he holds as well, then he is not to be blameworthy, for this is not blameworthy. So he should not be held in blame, nor should he be held in contempt for this either. And this is a great book. This is a great book, the book of Ad-Durar al-Bahiyya.
ثم الشيخ نواف صديق حسن خان رحمه الله الذي خدم هذا الكتاب, وفي كتابه الروضة الندية شرح الدرر البهية خدمة جليلة لهذا الكتاب. ونواف صديق حسن خان رحمه الله أيضا من آيات الله تبارك وتعالى في الهند, واسمه صديق ابن حسن ابن علي الحسيني البخاري القنوجي, وكنيته أبو الطيب. ينسب الحسيني لأجل نسبته إلى حسين ابن أبي سبت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ابن فاطمة بنت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. ومن بلاد العرب نزحت هذه الأسرة عن طريق بخارى فمكثت هناك أياما، الله أعلم كم مدة، ومن هناك سميت هذه الأسرة بخارية، ثم من هناك إلى الملتان بالهند، وفي الحقيقة ثم إلى قنوج كما ذكر. وتتسم في الحقيقة هذه الأسرة وتعرف بالذكاء والوجاهة والجمال في الجسم بفضل الله تعالى، ما جمال في العقيدة فيما بعد. في حين أن جد نواب صديق حسن خان رحمه الله كان رافضيا كبيرا جدا، رافضيا من الذين يكفرون بعض الصحابة أو على الأقل يرفضون خلافة أبي بكر وعمر ولا يعترفون بها. والده رحمه الله كان من الرجال السلفيين، كان تربى في كنف أبيه الرافضي، لكنه وفقه الله تبارك وتعالى علماء أجلاء بحيث تغير الدراسة عليهم تغير فكره. ولذلك ينبغي أن تكون دراسة الأطفال الصغار على أيدي علماء معروفين بحسن العقيدة، حتى ولو كان مدرسا للإنجليزية. نحن نقول ينبغي أن نختار مدرسا صاحب عقيدة سلفية، وإلا قد يمثل ببعض الأمثلة يأتي فيه بعقيدته، حتى ولو كان مدرسا للغة العربية، للغة الفارسية، للغة الإنجليزية أو الرياضيات. فنحن نريد أن يكون طلب العلم على ناس في معروفين بصفاء العقيدة وخلوص الدين. فوالده مع كونه ابن رافضي كبير تربى على أول الأمر على عقيدة الرافضة، لكنه لما أخذ العلم عن بعض العلماء منهم مثل الباسط القنوجي، وأيضا ارتحل إلى لكنو فدرس على الشيخ محمد نور والشيخ مرزا حسن وغيرهم، ثم قدر الله أن يأتي إلى دلهي أو دهلي أصل حقيقة، فتتلمذ على الشيخ عبد العزيز رحمه الله أكبر نجل للشاه ولي الله المحدث الدهلوي، والشيخ رفيع الدين ابن الشيخ أو ابن الشيخ شاه ولي الله الدهلوي. وكذلك صحب في تلك الأيام التي ارتفعت راية الجهاد ضد الإنجليز وضد السيخ في الهند على يد السيد أحمد الشهيد ومعه السيد إسماعيل الشهيد رحمه الله، فبايع على يده واستفاد منه كثيرا، سافر معه وجاهد، وكان ورعا أبوه تقيا إلى حد أنه ترك إرث أبيه الرافضي ولم يأخذ منه شيء، وله تأليف أيضا في العقيدة السليمة. نواب صديق حسن خان رحمه الله لقب بالنواب من قبل الإنجليز، وإلا هو صديق حسن خان ولد في قنوج أو ولد في باس بريلي. في باس بريلي هي تبعد عن دهلي في الشمال 122 ميل تقريبا أو كيلومترا، وهي معروفة، البلد هذا معروف باس بريلي، وهو موطن جده لأمه. ولد في بيت جده لأمه في 19 جماد الأولى 1248، وجاءت به أمه إلى قنوج موطن آبائه، فلما بلغ 6 من عمره صار يتيما رحمه الله. وإن الله تبارك وتعالى قد يتفضل على الأيتام، تاريخ الأيتام في الإسلام كبير جدا، فهم من صغرهم لما يفقدون الأب أو قد يكون الأم، فيعطيهم الله قوة الثقة بالنفس بعد الله تعالى. فتربى رحمه الله على قوة النفس، والدته هي التي ربته تربية صالحة، وجلس للدراسة في سن مبكر. وكان والده قد ترك مكتبة دينية قيمة في الحقيقة، كانت حافظة له وكانت حاسة له في طلب العلم. يقول في بعض كتبه عندما كان الشيخ حسيني يعني خادم والده يشمس كتبه وكنت صغيرا ألعب بها. يشمس يعني يجفف في الشمس في خاصة في أيام المطر وغيرها حتى لا تصيب بالأرض وغيرها، وأقلب أوراقها فأفهم بعض الفقرات ولا أفهم بعض الآخر. من أجل ذلك مال قلبي للدراسة. فهذه المكتبة التي ورثها كانت أيضا من جملة الحوافظ مع الزكائي، فارتحل إلى بلاد بعدما أخذ من علماء قنوج إلى بلاد الهند التي كانت مقتضة بعلماء السلف، وأخذ عنهم علومهم. نعم.
عند الشيخ وصي الله عباس حفظه الله تعالى continue by saying, as for Sheikh Siddiq Hassan Khan رحمه الله تعالى, he explained his book الدرر المضية in his book الروضة النبية. His name is Siddiq bin Hassan ibn Ali al-Husayni al-Bukhari al-Qannuji. His nickname is Abu Tayyib. He said, as for al-Husayn, because he said his lineage go back to the Husayn ibn Fatima, the grandson of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said his noble family, they are from the Arab, they are from the tribes of the Arabs, and they migrated towards Bukhara, which they remained there for a while, and then they proceed towards India. And they settle in this place that is called Qannuj. That's why he's a Qannuji. And he was from a family that is well known with knowledge, and also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him beauty in their bodies and a beauty in the aqidah. So they were their bodies beautiful as well as their aqidah. He said even though this is a Salafi scholar Saddiq Hassan Khan, but his grandfather was a Rafidi who used to consider some of the Sahaba to be disbelievers, or at least he was against the fact that Abu Bakr is worthy of Khilafah and Umar radiallahu anhuma. He said, as for his father, the father of Siddiq Hasan Khan, he was a Salafi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants him success, and by him studying under ulama of Ahl Sunnah and the Salaf, that changes his way of thinking. Even though he said his father was a Rafidi, he said that's why this is what incites us, that we have to choose for our children those who are going to teach our children those teachers of their aqidah is clean and pure and Salafiyya. He said even if they're going to teach them English, even if they teach them only English, not just the hadith or some, even in English, you have to choose for them the teacher who is aqidah is pure and Salafiyya, because even the English teacher, he may try to bring to them some examples, and he may be giving them example from his wicked and aqidah. He says so his father, even though he grew up being the father of a Rafidi, alhamdulillah, he said he took the knowledge from the ulama, and the Sheikh mentioned some of them, and the like of the Sheikh Muhammad Noor, and also he went to Delhi and he learned from Sheikh Abdul Aziz, and also from the great Sheikh Al-Imam Al-Dahlawi. He said, and also when the banner of jihad was mentioned, because at that time India, they fought against the British, he said he participated along with Sayyid Ahmed al-Shaheed and Sayyid Ismail al-Shaheed in this as well. He said his father was a warah. His father was a man of righteousness, and he refused to take any from the inheritance of his father who was a Rafidi. He left him a lot of wealth, but he refused to take it just because his father was a Rafidi. So Siddiq Hasan Khan, he was born in Bath Braley, in this place that called Bath Braley, which is to the north of Delhi, some 122 miles or the like of this. He said it is well known in India, and this was the land where his maternal grandfather used to live. So he was born in the 19th of the Jumada al-Ula in the year of 1248 of the Hijrah. And then after that, his mother, she brought him to Qannuj, where his father is. And when he was 6 years old, his father died, so because he became an orphan. And he said, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in a way of reconforting the orphans, and this is known, he said, in the history of these people, the orphans, the scholars that were orphans, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them tranquility and strength, and will enable them to achieve a lot of things. So his mother took care of him after the death of his father. And from an early age, he started to learn, because, especially that his father left for him a huge and a great life. He said, and he used to be in the library, and when the servants of the library were cleaning it, and one of the books fell down, this young boy, he would go and try to check the book and turn the pages, read some of them, he would understand some and do not understand others. And since he grew up in an environment that will put him on the path of this long journey of seeking knowledge. He said, and then he started by acquiring knowledge from the ulama and the scholars of the Qannuj, where he was from, and then after that he moved on to acquire more knowledge from other scholars. Na'am, Shaykh, sallallahu alayhi wa
sallam. على كل حال هذا الإمام أيضا قد درس على أئمة الوقت في كل فن. أولا درس الفقه الحنفي ودرس العقيدة الأشعرية، ثم درس ما هو العقيدة السلفية، ما ميله إلى العمل بالكتاب والسنة، وخاصة وجد مشايخ منهم الشيخ قاضي القاضي حسين بن محسن السبعي الأنصاري اليماني رحمه الله، كذلك الشيخ المعمر عبد الحق بن فضل الله المحدث البنارسي، فدرس على أيديهم والشيخ العلامة سيد نعمان خير الدين العلوسي، هؤلاء استفاد منهم كثيرا، وكان عالما سلفيا تشبع بعلوم الكتاب والسنة، ولكنه قد جاء في حياته ريح حوجاء أزعجته كثيرا بالنسبة لما كان يلاقي من ضيق المعيشة وغيرها، فخرج في بعدما تخرج من العلوم وأتم الدراسة العالية على العلماء المعروفين، خرج في طلب الرزق حتى استقر به المقام في آخر مرة إلى مملكة بوفال، وتلك الأيام بوفال كانت تجمع العلماء والفضلاء من أهل العلم، كان وجد هناك وظيفة، ثم ترقى إلى وظيفة أعلى حتى وتزوج من مدير شؤون المملكة مملكة بوفال من بنته زكية بيغم، وولد له منها ولدان نور الحسن والسيد علي حسن. خرج رحمه الله لفريضة الحج في 1885، ومر بالحديدة واليمن، واتخذ هناك إقامة لبعض الأيام، واقتنى كتب الإمام الشوكاني رحمه الله، وجلس يستنسخ بنفسه، وآتى ناسا مقابل نصف استنسخ من ناس الكثيرين كتبا كثيرة مثل إرشاد الفول ونيل الأوتار وفتح القدير، وانكب على العلم والتعلم والتعليم. وبعدما رجع إلى الحج من الحج، فصدر مرسوم ملكة بوفال أن يعين وزيرا لشؤون التعليم، وكان هذا الأهد من أهده الزاهر، فوجد فرصة لنشر العقيدة الصحيحة، وتزوج مرة أخرى لما ما ماتت زوجة أو ماتت ملكة سكندرة بيغم الملكة الأولى، وتولت العرش بنتها الملكة شاهجهان بيغم، فشعرت أن مسؤوليات الدولة تتزايد يوما فيوما، فاحتاجت إلى مشير خاص ومدبر مخلص، فوقع اختيارها على هذا الإمام الذي يسمى صديق حسن خان. فبعد أيام تقدمت هي ورغبت في الزواج منه، وجاء عهد جديد لعمل الشيخ سيد نواف صديق حسن خان رحمه الله للعمل الإسلامي بعدما لقب بأمير الملك بعد زواجه من الملكة. نعم.
So the Sheikh continued by saying that this great Imam Siddiq Hasan Khan, he learned from many scholars. First of all, he started by studying the Fiqh al-Hanafi, and after that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided him to learn from the scholars of al-Salaf. So he learned the Aqidah al-Salafiyya, and like the Qadi Ibn Muhsin or Mu'ammar Ibn Fadlillah Al-Muhaddid, like of Sayyid Nu'man, Khairuddin Al-Rusi and others, which he benefited from them greatly. And he was a scholar upon the Salafiyya, a scholar upon that was the Salaf Ridwanullahi Alim, they were upon. He said, and after he graduated and finished his scholars, and he benefited a great deal, he, because of the problems that was occurring in his country, he had to migrate and leave his area, and he ended up in this place called Hubal, the kingdom of Hubal, and in it was ulama and scholars. So he find a job in there, and after that he was promoted to a better position. And then because of his noble character and his ilm, the mudir, the director of that area in that kingdom of Hubal, he asked him to marry his daughter. So he married her. Her name was Zakiya Begum, and he has from her two children, Nur al-Hasan and Sayyid al-Hasan. And then he made the Hajj. He made the Hajj in the year 1285 of the Hijrah. And after the Hajj, he passed in a Hudaydah. He went to Hudaydah, which is in Yemen. And in there, he stayed some days. And he asked for the books of Al-Imam al-Shawkani and the like of Nail al-Awtar, Wafat al-Qadir, and others. And he wrote those books by his own hand. He write for himself a copy for himself from these books. And then he said when he came back from the Hajj, he said to teach the people and to compile the book. And when he came back from the Hajj to that area, he was promoted to be the minister of the affairs of education. So he finds that this is alhamdulillah and ni'mah from Allah and a huge opportunity for him to teach the aqidah of the salaf, the aqidah of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. He said, and when the queen of that area died, her daughter becomes the queen. Her daughter becomes the queen. So as the perturbance and the disturbance and the problems raised up, she needed someone, a man who will help her to run and govern the country. She couldn't find no one better than Siddiq Hasan Khan. He said, and she went by herself. She went to him and asked him to marry her. And I said, that's why he became the Amir of these people, the Amir of that area, because of his marriage to the queen of that area. He said this is also enable him to spread the correct belief. نعم يا شيخ.
فإذا رحمه الله على كل حال، حياته طويلة وترجمته طويلة، وخلاصته أنه لما تمكن في مملكة الغفال وكان زوجة الملكة، فوجد فرصة لتنفيذ خطته السلفية في طبع الكتب السلفية وفتح المدارس السلفية وجمع العلماء السلفيين من الكبار مثل بشير الشيخ بشير السهسواني والشيخ محسن السبعي وغيرهم، فصارت الدولة في اتباع السنة وتدريس علوم الكتاب والسنة في الحقيقة مثالا ينبغي أن يحتذى به. ورحمه الله لا شك أنه سلك مسلك السلف في إثبات العقيدة والتزم بأخذها من الأدلة الشرعية دون تأويل أو تعطيل. كذلك اختار رحمه الله التاليفات أو اختار ميدان التاليف لإصلاح الأمة، فألف كتبا كثيرة بفضل الله تعالى وبما مكنه الله تبارك وتعالى من الفرصة لجمع العلماء وكذلك من المال من قبل الدولة، حتى تبع عدة كتب من فتح الباري وأول من تبع في العالم ووزع على العالم. كذلك كانت له أو كان له وكلاء ومندوبون في كل بلد حتى إلى الجزائر وإلى المغرب وغيره، كان يرسل إليهم حتى يوزع مطبوعاته، وله نفسه تأليفات كثيرة من تأليفاته المطبوعة: فتح البيان في مقاصد القرآن، نيل المرام من تفسير آيات الأحكام، الدين الخالص، حسن الإسوة، ومن الكتب الكبيرة أيضا الحطة في ذكر الصحاح الستة، فتح العلام شرح بلوغ المرام نسب إليه وإلى ابنه أيضا، وكتب كثيرة معروفة في من تأليفاته رحمه الله. وبذلك نجد بفضل الله تعالى هؤلاء العلماء قدوة لنا في خدمة العلم وطلب العلم أولا ثم خدمة العلم الصحيح، وهو يدل على أن الإنسان مهما كان في ضيق من المعيشة ومهما كان في شدة من الحال، لكن الله تبارك وتعالى يرى إخلاص الإنسان فيفتح له السبيل. والشوكاني رحمه الله أيضا قد مر بأيام عصيبة في حياته من الحساد وغيرهم، ومن قبله في مسألة المعيشة وغيرها. كذلك الشيخ سيد نواب حسين نواب صديق حسن خان رحمه الله قد مر بأمور عصيبة جدا في أول الأمر، ثم حسده العلماء والآخرون لما كان زوجة لملكة بوفال فحصلت بعض المضايقات. نرجو الله تبارك وتعالى أن يرحم الجميع ويوفقنا للاقتداء بسيرة السالحين رحمة الله عليهم ورضي الله عنهم، وصلى الله على خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين.
So the Sheikh in conclusion to the biography of Sadiq Hasan Khan, he said his life is long and mashallah his biography as well. But he said since he was he married the queen of that land, that was a great opportunity for him to actually to put in work his plans to spread the da'wah salafiyya, which is the da'wah to the book of Allah and the sunnah of the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he used his position for the da'wah. So therefore he used his position, and therefore many books printed and published, and many schools that teach the sunnah and the hadith, they were alhamdulillah open. And so after in a brief time, this land, this area in India was an example to follow in establishing the Aqidah Salafiyya of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and from its sources the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and that was the Sahaba, the companions Ridwanullahi Alayhim, they were upon. He said from the things also in his da'wah characterized his effort in the da'wah is that he used to compile and write many books to reform and rectify the situation of the people. And many, many books they were written, and by the ni'mah of Allah and the fadl and the virtue of Allah upon him, because in his time he was keen and kind and gentle, and he used to take good care of the ulama. So lara ulama, they came to that area. And likewise, because since he or his position, he have a lot of wealth that he used towards the da'wah and spreading the da'wah. So in his time, he published Fath al-Bari, which is the explanation of Sahih al-Bukhari, and he delivered and sent it to many, many places on the universe. He has people that dealers that represent him in many, in every corner, even in Algeria and Morocco, that he will send books to them, and they will send and give it free for the people. He has many, many books from them, Ad-Din al-Khalis and Fath al-Allam, which is the explanation of Bulugh al-Maram, and many other books that are well known. Likewise, he said, we find that some of the people of knowledge, he is from those people of knowledge who they are an example. They set an example to be followed, seeking knowledge, in learning, in serving the knowledge. So he said, and we need indeed to learn from their examples. He said, no matter how you may find yourself in a hardship, on in a tight situation, be sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of you. And Allah will provide for you. And will open many doors for you that you have no knowledge of. Likewise, the Imam al-Shawkani, he said, rahmahullah, he passed by a very difficult times and moments. And likewise, Siddiq Hasan Khan, he has enemies. Look in the beginning of his da'wah and how he went through many difficulties. And after that, the envy of other scholars, because now he's the husband of the queen. He said, but they were patient and they were sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here they are, they mentioned in many gatherings. And many people have asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mercy for them. He said, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mercy upon all of the scholars. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cause us to follow their footsteps and to cause us to die upon the guidance of the Prophet, of that which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was upon and his companions. Naam ya Abdullah, tafakkal barakatuh.
Ahsan Allahu ilayk wa jazakum Allahu khairan wa barakallahu feekum.
أعطونا سيد الله
فضيلة الشيخ حفظكم الله. السائلة تقول إنني سمعت أن الإمام بديع الدين الراشد يسندي كان أحد مشايخكم، فهل هذا صحيح؟
هو شيخ منتظم في الحقيقة، لا نقول أنه شيخ منتظم، لكن استفدت منه في تلك الأيام. كنت أدرس في الماجستير MA في الحديث الشريف في مكة، وهو في مكة فليل نهار في أوقات الصلاة دائما نجلس معه، حتى كان بيننا وبينه عدم التكلف جزاه الله خير، وكان يمزح معنا ويأتينا يكلفنا ويسألنا أسئلة، فاستفدنا منه كثيرا الحمد لله. يعني مثل ما يكون أي شيخ، وأنا أفتخر به أن نكون تلميذا عليه بهذه الصورة الحمد لله، وإن لم نكن درسنا كتبا خاصة عليه. كنت أجلس في مجالسه بعض الأيام في الحرم، لكن انشغالنا بكتابة الرسالة وغيرها في الدراسات العليا قد منعنا عن الحضور المستمر وبدون انقطاع، لكن كنا نجتمع في بيته ونقرأ ونراجع كتب المخطوطة، وهو يرشدنا إلى التراجم وغيرها. الحمد لله رب العالمين، ورحمة الله عليه دائما ندور. ونعم
أخ زاهد.
أي نعم يا أخي،
أنا أترجم السؤال الأول.
أي تفضل يا أخي.
Allah yabarak fi.
Shukran ya habibi.
And Allah yabarak fi. So the answer to the first question.
The question was, I heard that Imam Badiuddin Rashid Yasindi was one of your teacher, one of your mashayikh. So is that correct?
And the Shaykh Hafidhahullah Ta'ala, he said yes. The Shaykh said when I used to prepare the degree that is before the PhD, the bachelor degree in Mecca, and while the Shaykh used to have classes in the Haram, and he said we used to come and spend a long hours with him, sometimes in a night time, sometimes in a daytime, and we benefited greatly from him. And he said, and the Shaykh Jazahullahu Khairan, he has a good sense of humor. He used to humor us and make it easy for us, because preparing for the bachelor and others preparing likewise, it is very hard. He said he used to be very humorous with us. He said, Jazahullahu Khairan, he used to help us in finding narrations, finding sources, and guide us to certain books. that will be of benefit for us. He said, and I am very proud to say that I was very proud when I used to sit with him in his classes, even though he said at those moments I used to sit only in some of his classes because I was very busy of preparing the bachelor thesis which prevents us from sitting with him constantly. But in reality, we have benefited greatly from the Shaykh Hafidhahullah Ta'ala.
أحسن الله إليكم وبارك الله فيكم. سائل يقول: هل أحد من الأئمة الأربعة ألف كتاب في الفقه؟ وقد سمعت أن مذهب الإمام أحمد أقرب إلى سنة، فهل هذا صحيح؟
أولا، أحد من الأئمة ألف كتابا من الفقه الشافعي رحمه الله، من قبل الإمام مالك رحمه الله. كتابه الفقه هو موطأه، وفقه الأئمة كان الكتاب والسنة، آيات والأحاديث ثم أقوال الصحابة والتابعين، وعلى هذا بنى الإمام مالك رحمه الله موطأه وهو كتاب فقه. ثم الشافعي رحمه الله ألف كتبا عدة، منها كتاب في الحديث مسنده، وكذلك كتاب في الحديث اختلاف الحديث جماع العلم، ثم كتابه الكبير الأم الذي هو طبع في أربع مجلدات كبار ضخام. أما الإمام أبو حنيفة رحمه الله فلم يوثر عنه كتاب هو ألفه، لكنه نقل من علمه شيء كثير في كتاب الحجة للإمام محمد بن حسن الشيباني، وكذلك من كتاب الأصل نقل عنه أسيرته. كذلك الإمام أحمد رحمه الله ألف بعض كتب الحديث، منها المسند، مسند الإمام أحمد، وكذلك ألف كتاب العلل ومعرفة الرجال، وهناك أسئلة أخرى نقلها تلاميذ أبناؤه وتلاميذه مثل صالح ابن الإمام أحمد، المسائل عن الإمام أحمد. فهذه في الحقيقة وإن لم يكن هو اعتنى بتأليفه لكنه نقلت عنه. فكان في الحقيقة كثير من الأئمة لا يوافق نقل كلامه عنه، إلا أن العلماء والطلبة الذين استفادوا منه على كل حال نقلوا عنه. والسؤال الثاني الذي فيه أن مذهب الإمام أحمد أقرب إلى السنة، ولا شك فيها. لماذا؟ لأن أصحابه في الحقيقة كانوا دائما هم متعلقين بالسنة والاحتجاج بالسنة، وكفى أن نعرف أن المقادس المقدسيين الذين كانوا في جبل صفح جبل قاسيون كانت لهم مدارس الحديث، وكان لهم عمل والاستدلال بالسنة أكثر من غيرهم في كتبهم. وإلى الآن نحن نلمس حتى في السعودية، وإن كانوا ينتسبون إلى المذهب الحنبلي لكنهم في الحقيقة سلفيون عقيدة وعملا، فيضعفون الأقوال الضعيفة وبكل صراحة أكثر أصحاب المذاهب الأخرى. نعم.
So the Shaykh حفظه الله تعالى, as for the question was, is there any from the Imma who compiled the book in the fiqh that is closer to the sunnah, as they said that Imam Ahmed book is closer to the sunnah. The Shaykh Hafidhahullah Ta'ala said in answering this issue, the Shaykh, he mentioned that Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala, he compiled his book Al-Muwatta, and he based it that which in it on the book of Allah, on the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was closer to the sunnah because of that which was put in his book Al-Muwatta, issues and masail that are based on the text from the book of Allah and the sunnah. Likewise, and then after him Al-Imam Al-Shafi'i, who has many many books, and because of the disturbance, as I mentioned to the Akh Zahid, I couldn't hear clearly some of the books that the Shaykh has mentioned. But there is one of the main books, Al-Umm, in the Hadith, but before it other books, but this is one of the greatest work of Al-Imam Al-Shafi'i, four huge volumes that he mentioned in it, the fiqh based on the Book of Allah and the Sunnah. As for Imam Abu Hanifa, he said, we don't know of the fact, we don't know that he actually compiled a book or written a book by himself, but rather that a lot of his statements was transmitted and from many of other students, his students or the people of knowledge, that they mentioned and compiled in their books, Tanjir books, many of the statements of Imam Abu Hanifa. As for Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala, he said he has compiled his book Al-Musnad and in the Hadith, likewise Al-Ilal fi Ma'rifat Al-Rijal, and other many answers to the Shaykh Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala, that many people and his sons, his son Salih bin Imam Ahmad and others, they transmitted his statements and the answers to his questions in many books. He said, in reality, Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala, his narration was transmitted in many books by the people of knowledge. And as for the statement that the madhab of Imam Ahmad is the closest to the sunnah, he said, no doubt in this. No doubt pertaining to this, because his companions and those who used to study with him, they were eager and keen and zealous in taking good care of the sunnah and studying the sunnah and bringing the narrations and using the proofs from the sunnah. He said it is enough to mention that the Maqadisa at that time, who they used to have schools in hadith and schools in the sunnah to teach the sunnah, and they took good care of the science of hadith and the sunnah more than any other than them. He said even in Saudi Arabia, may Allah preserve it, Ameen. Even though that people, they said that the scholars of Saudi Arabia, they follow the madhab al-Hanbali, the madhab of Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, said rather they are Salafiyun. They follow the text and they take the Imam Ahmad school of thought, because it's based on the text from the Quran and the Sunnah. Rather they are Salafiyun. They follow the dalil and the adilla from the Book of Allah and from the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Naam, Shaykh.
Ahsan Allahu ilaykum wa barakallahu feekum. فضيلة الشيخ حفظكم الله, هذا السؤال فيه كثير من المغالطات وقول على دعوة أهل السنة بغير حق ونسبة دعوة السلفية إلى شيء ودعوة طبعا بريئة مما قيل في السؤال كبراءة الذئب من الدم يوسف عليه السلام, ولكن نعرض على فضيلتكم لعل الله ينفع بكم السائلة ويهديها إلى صراط المستقيم. فتقول السائلة أن دعوة السلفية دمرت حياتنا, حيث ابنتي تبنت هذه دعوة وتركت بيتنا بدون الإذن منا لأنني رفضت زواج بنتي مع أحد الناس يدعي سلفية الذي وهو كان متزوجا من قبل ولديه أولاد وكان له علاقات مع بنتي بدون علمي, وهو كذب علي وجاء بالشرطة في بيتي وودعنا في موضع محرج. والسؤال هو, هل يجوز لبنتي أن تتزوج بدون إذني وأنا أتبع القرآن والسنة وهي تقول أنها أن دعوة السلفية أجازت أو أذنت لها, ولعلكم تبينون للمستمعين أن دعوة أهل السنة الذي ندعو إليه هي الإسلام على وجه الحقيقي. فإن أحد من المسلمين ارتكب ذنبا أو معصية فهذا لا يدل على فساد الإسلام كله وليعوذ بالله, وإن أحد منهم ارتكب ذنبا فلا يلحق التحمى للمنتسبين إلى الإسلام جميعا. We have a question here for one of the sister in which she has attributed to دعوة السلفية which is absolutely incorrect and is absolutely free of دعوة السلفية, just like the wolf was free from the blood of Yusuf عليه الصلاة والسلام. But we are presenting this question to the Shaykh hoping that she may be guided to the correct path and will be of benefit to the listeners. She says that Da'wah al-Salafiyyah has destroyed our lives, and I would like to address the Salafi ulama that my daughter has left our home without my permission because she claimed that she became Salafiyyah and I refuse to give her away, marry her with the man who claims Salafiyah. And that man was married with children, and he had lied to me about himself and had contact with my daughter without my knowledge. He had police involved. Our family has been ashamed, and I feel that the Salafi Dawah is the reason and has destroyed our lives. So can my daughter marry without my permission and do all these things? Afiduna barakallahu feekum.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wa nahnu naqul ad-da'wah as-salafiyyah ayna ma kanat fi ayy balad kanat hiya da'watun ila al-kitab wa sunnah. Fa idha tasamma ahadun salafiyyan ودعا إلى غير الكتاب والسنة أو عمل عملا فرديا مخالفا للكتاب والسنة فهذا الشخص دعوته ليست على الحساب السلفية وليست على حساب الإسلام. فالسلفية هي دعوة للكتاب والسنة وإلى الإسلام الذي كان في عهد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في بحث المسائل والاعتقاد وغيرها في ضوء الكتاب والسنة. هذه خلاصة هذه الدعوة. في كل أمر، في الزواج، في النكاح، في الأكل والشرب والنوم والعقيدة، لا شك فيه، وخاصة في العقيدة لهم الحمد لله تميز كبير من جميع من في الدنيا. فهناك ناس يعتقدون في القبور والمقبورين من العقائد الباطلة التي هي شرك وشرك وكفر، ولا شك فيه. هناك من يعتقد في غير الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم عصمة، وكذلك يتبعونهم ويشركونهم في رسالة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في الاتباع، ولا شك فيه. لكن السلفيين يجب أن يكونوا هكذا بحيث يتبعوا الكتاب والسنة ولا يعرفوا متبعا أو متبعا الذي يجب اتباعه إلا الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. والقول أن السلفية دمرت حياتنا، هذا إذا كانت وجدت من شخص يسمي سلفيا ومن امرأة تسمي نفسها سلفية وخالفت العقيدة السلفي والأمر السلفي، فهذا لا يقره السلفية، لا تقره السلفية. كما أن أحد المسلمين إذا زنى أو سرق أو عمل إرهابا، فهل يقال إنه لأجل أنه مسلم فالإسلام يكون دمر حياة الناس؟ لا، ينبغي أن نكون منصفين ونتكلم كلاما لا نؤاخذ عليه عند الله تبارك وتعالى. فإن الإنسان يؤاخذ بكل ما يتكلم، وما يلتزم من قول إلا لديه رقيب عتيد. بالنسبة لبنته التي عملت وذهبت وتزوجت بدون إذنه، الآباء في الحقيقة إذا كان، أنا أقول صراحة، إذا كانت عقيدة الأب والأم عقيدة الكفر والفسق فليست، أو الكفر والشرك، فليست لهم ولاية عليها، وهي صارت كبيرة يتولاها أمير المؤمنين أو قاضي المؤمنين أمرها يزوج. وإن كان حصل في هناك في بلاد الكفر الزواج بدون إذن الوالد والوالدة، والوالد والوالدة ليست عقيدتهم يسير الكفر، فهذا خطأ من البنت، يجب أن تأخذ ابنهم. لكن لا يجوز للوالدين أن يزوجوها برجل ليس سلفيا وهي تريد أن تتزوج سلفيا حتى تعيش على العقيدة السلفية، ولا أن يجوز لهم أن يزوجوا رجلا نصرانيا أو شيء، فلا يجوز لهم أن يجبروها. لا بد أن يراء رضاها مع شخص يريد أو يظهر منه الدين والإيمان. أما إذا ذهبت البنت إلى رجل فاسق فللوالدين حق في منع الزواج من هذا، ولتختر البنت رجلا صالحا. فلما اختارت رجلا صالحا ما حق ولا استقام للوالدين أن يمنعوها من الزواج لأجل مخالفتهم أو مخالفته في عقيدتهم. وهذا هو إن شاء الله الحق في القول. نعم.
الشيخ حفظه الله تعالى said, first of all, the دعوة السلفية. His دعوة السلفية wants the people to know what it is. And briefly, the Sheikh said, whenever it may be, in any place, in any time, it is a دعوة and a call to the Book of Allah and to the Sunnah of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. This is the da'wah salafiyya. But if a person from the people, he called himself a salafi, but their actions or their statements, they act individually to that which is in contradiction to that which the salafiyya teach. So this is a person, actually he's not a salafi. And that which he does should not be ascribed to the true salafiyya. Nor that is a person, that which he does should be ascribed to Islam from the mukhalafat, the wickedness this person acts upon. So he said, in brief, the salafiyya is the da'wah that is called to the true Islam, the correct Islam that was in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the issues of the belief and other than them, in every issue, in marriage, in eating, in drinking, in sleeping, and especially in the issues of aqidah. So he said, the Salafiyun who hold on firm to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you'll find that they are distinguished from other people. So he said, because some of the Muslims, you find they Muslims, but they have beliefs based on shirk and disbelief, wal-iyadu billah. Some of them they call upon graves. Some they think that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have some of the attributes of divinity and the like of this. Rather, the Salafiyun, they follow the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, this is need to be understood by everyone. He said, as for the statement in this question, that this mother said that the Salafiyya came and destroyed their life, he said, because this has happened when a man or a woman, they claim to be upon Salafiyya, but their actions are not according to that which the Prophet ﷺ was upon. So this person, they cause a lot of harm, but those people who have no knowledge of the Salafiyya, they ascribe that to the Salafiyya. And they said that the Salafiyya actually is a bad thing. He said, la, we give you an example. He said, for example, some of the Muslims, they may fall into zina, they do wicked things, or they commit an act of terrorism. Is it correct to say that Islam is a religion of terrorists? No, he said, of course. Rather, these people, they have to be judged according to their actions. And those wicked actions, they should be attributed to those people who act upon them and those people who say them. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Qaf, there is not a word that he or she uttered except that there is an angel's waiting there to record it. He said, so this girl that she married without the permission of her family to this man, he said, I will say to you, to say to you, that if the aqidah and the belief of those parents is the aqidah of disbelief and shirk, so they are not to represent her. They are not the wali over her. And it is upon somebody else from Ahl Sunnah to act as her wali. But if her parents and the wali is a Muslim, even though that they have some mukhalafat, so this is a mistake from her part. Rather, she has to ask them for their permission, and it's not permissible for them to prevent her from marrying this man who's upon the Salafiyya. This man who's right upon the Salafiyya, and therefore they want to marry her to someone who's wicked, or to a Christian, or the like of this. This is not befitting for them, nor it is permissible for them. He said, but if the woman wants to marry a man who's a fasiq, who's a wicked, and he's not righteous in his deen and in his belief, therefore it is upon her family to prevent her from doing this. But since this woman, she wants to marry a man who's righteous, so upon the da'wah of the Prophet and his companions, the da'wah salafiyya, they have no right to prevent her from marrying this man.
Ahsanallahu ilaykum wa barakallahu feekum. سائلة تقول إذا كان زوج في بلد آخر ولا يستطيع زيارة زوجته لأن قوانين الهجرة قد تمنعه من ذلك فما هو أقصى الحد الزمني يستطيع الزوج أن يكون بعيدا عن زوجته وإلا وقعت الطلاق أو يحق لزوجة أن تطلب الخلع وأيضا إذا شعرت الزوجة أن الزوج لا يصلح لها فهل هذا يكفي لها ليطالب الخلعة وما هي شروط طلب الخلعة يجب توفرها قبل مطالبة بها. The question is there a time limit for separation between husband and wife? If so, and the reason being is due to immigration laws of the country, husband is not able to come. Can a certain amount of time separation worth the marriage or be a reason to get khul'a? Also, if the wife feels this person is not good for her or her choice was bad, is this a good enough reason to get a khul'a? In summary, what are the conditions to get the khul'a? Afiduna barakallahu feekum.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أما المرأة في الحقيقة صبرها عن الزوج البعد عنها إذا كان حتى إذا كان الزوج ينفق عليها من ماله ولا ينقصها من النفقات والسكنى شيء، ما ذلك للمرأة حق في مطالبة قضاء شهوتها حلالا من الزوج، ولا يجوز للزوج أن يتركها كالمعلقة، يجب عليه أن يحصنها بحيث يجامعها في أوقات معروفة حتى تكون هي نفسها تكون محصنة، لأنها تريد ما يريد الرجال من النساء والنساء من الرجال. ففي هذه الحالة ولو كانت عليها نفقات وغيرها، فإذا صبرت إلى مدة لا نهاية لها وهي راضية في الوضع الحاضر، الزوج لا يقدر أن يأتي إليها أو لا يأتي إليها وتريد أن تصبر وتقول أنا أعيش في عصمته هكذا، فلها ما اختارت. لكن إذا تضررت وصبرت أكثر من 4 أشهر وأشهرا لا أكثر من هذا، لا يجوز لها في أقل من هذا، لكن 4 أشهر وعشر التي هي عدة المتوفى عنها زوجها في مدة قد قدر الله أنها لا بد أن تصبر عن الزوج، فإذا لم يقدر الزوج أن يأتي إليها أو لا يريدها مطلقا، فجاز لها أن تطلب أولا الطلاق، فإن طلقها فبها ونعمت، وإلا يجوز لها الخلع في هذه الحالة، وتعطي المهر الذي أعطاها الزوج، ويفك القاضي ويفصل بينهم ويكتب ويشهد على هذا، فيكون كلاهما حرا بعد قضاء العدة، يجوز لها أن تتزوج من أي شخص شاءت. فهذه هي حكمها فيما إذا كانت تضررت وطالبت الخلع، والزوج يقول أنا لا أريد أن أطلقها. إذا كانت الزوجة تتضرر فلها حق طلب الطلاق، فإذا كانت رفعت المسألة إلى قاضي الشريعة فالقاضي يقضي إذا رأى التفريط من الزوج أن يطلقها لا أن يخالعها، لأنه ليس له حق الطلب، هو الذي جعلها تتضرر، فإما أن يرجع إليها ويعطيها حقها أو يطلقها بدون خلع. فإذا كان هو يقضي حاجتها والزوجة لا ترغب في الزوج أو كرهت نفسية، بحيث فرضنا أن الزوج من حيث الصورة في اللون أو في الوجه ما ترغب الزوجة فيها وقلبها غير مطمئن، ففي هذه الحالة أيضا يجوز لها أن تطالب الخلع. فإذا طلق الزوج لا بأس فيه، لكنها إذا قال لا أطلق إلا بالخلع، فيجوز لها أن تعطي المهر وتفك نفسها عنه. هذا هو، ولو كان الزوج يودي حقها لكنها كرهت ولا تقدر أن تجتمع معه، ففي هذه الحالة جاز لها طلب الانفصال وهو الخلع.
أحسن الله إليك. الشيخ حفظه الله تعالى السيد. First of all, after praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, the woman, regarding to her patience and being away and wait for the husband who is away from her, who spends on her from his own wealth and his own money, she has, even though she has the right to ask him to be with her and to fulfill her desires, to fulfill her sexual desires in a means that are halal with him, and he should not leave her hanging in there, and rather he should help this woman to stay chaste, that the husband has to have intercourse with his wife in a well-known and determined times, so he helped her to achieve her sexual desires, because women, they have feelings as men do have feelings. But in this case, if the woman, she's the one who wants to be patient, and she's pleased with this situation, the fact that her husband is away from her, and she don't know when he's going to turn to her, or perhaps after a long time, and he cannot come to her, and she wants to be patient. She said, it doesn't matter how long it takes her husband to come back to her, she will wait, and she want to stay his wife. He said to her, what does she choose? To her, what does she choose? But if there is any harm for her, and she was patient, but she could be patient 4 months and 10 days. That's the period. Not ask and complain before or less than this period. And this is the period that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed for the woman who her husband died, that she has to wait 4 months and 10 days. So he said after that, after 4 months and 10 days, and she's still alone and she's still in harm and harm because of this separation, it is permissible for her to ask divorce. If her husband divorced her and grants her divorce, that's one thing. But if he refused to divorce her, then it becomes permissible for her to ask for khula. And so therefore he said, and if he granted the khula, it should be written, and you have witnesses that can witness that. And after the iddah is over, she can marry other men if she wished. So he said, for example, the khula, because he mentioned what is the khula. The khula is when a man actually does what he's supposed to, but he doesn't want to marry, to divorce actually the woman that she don't want to stay with him. Then this woman, she talked to the judge, and she complained to the judge, and the judge, after investigating, he will ask the man to divorce her, because he's the one who was the cause. He was the cause for her harm in this case, because she is harmed because of the man, not because she don't like the man. So at that time, he was to divorce her. But if the man was actually around and fulfilled her desires, fulfilled her needs, take care of her, he fulfilled obligations, but she's the one actually that doesn't want the man. She disliked him. He said, for example, she disliked the way he looked, or she disliked the skin, the color of his skin, or the like of it. It is permissible for her to ask for khula, but she has to give him the dowry back. So, this is what it is. If the man actually doing what he's supposed to be doing, but she's the one that dislikes to be with the man, and therefore she may not fulfill her obligations to him, so it is permissible for her to give back the dowry and to ask for the khula, nullification of the marriage contract. Naam, naam, ahsan Allahu ilayk.
أحسن الله إليكم وبارك الله فيكم. شيخنا حفظكم الله. يقول السائل, هذا السؤال من بريطانيا. يقول السائل, سمعنا أن لكم صلة مع القائمين على جمعية أهل الحديث في بريطانيا, وقد كنتم زرتموهم في السنة الماضية, فما قول فضيلتكم عن من يقول أن جمعية أهل الحديث في بريطانيا ليست من أهل السنة أصلا, وما أسست على سنة, بل يقال بل يقول أنها ما فعلت شيئا في سبيل الدعوة أو نشر السنة منذ 30 سنة, وهذا كل مبني على الأخطاء التي صدرت من قبل بعض الذين يشتغلون في هذه الجمعية. فهل تنصحون الشباب بالتعامل مع هذه الجمعية وبالاستمرار النصيحة إليها أم بهجرها والتحذير عنها؟ The question is, we heard that you are in contact with the Ahlul Hadith organization in England, and those who are in charge, and that you visited them last year. So what do you say about the one who says Jam'iyat Ahlul Hadith in Britain is not from Ahlul Sunnah, nor was it established upon the Sunnah? Rather, it is said that since the past 30 years, it has done nothing in the way of Da'wah or in spreading the Sunnah. And this is all based upon errors that some who work in the Jam'iyyah have fallen into. So do you advise the youth to cooperate with this Jam'iyyah and to continue advising it, or to abandon it and warn against it? Afiduna barakallahu fikum.
Jam'iyyah Ahl al-Hadith fi Birmingham أو في المنتشرين أفرادها في لندن وأمريكا وبريطانيا. في الحقيقة هذه الجمعية أصلها جمعية أهل الحديث المبنية على المنهج السلفي الكتاب والسنة. هذا هو لا شك أنه منهجهم. وأما أملهم الذي قد يقال السائل بأنه لا يظهر منهم خدمة لهذا المنهج، فهذا مما ينبغي أن يطالبوا أو يقال لهم: إن كنتم لا تعملون وعندكم إمكانية فيجب عليكم أن تعملوا. ولا شك أن هذا الشخص الذي تكلم فيه قد يكون بداعي الحب وغيرة العمل للكتاب والسنة، فنحن نقول للإخوان: زيدوا من أعمالكم. وأنا أيضا أقول: ينبغي أن يزيدوا. أما أن يقيموا دروسا أسبوعية في مسجدهم أو مساجدهم، كذلك قد يقيموا مؤتمرات سنوية، فهذا لا يكفي. الدنيا قد ترقت، فينبغي أن يدخلوا إذا كان الدخول هناك في إذاعات وغيرها، ويجعلوا برامج خاصة لهم، برامج في العقيدة وتنقية وتصفية العمل. كذلك ينبغي أن تكون عندهم هناك جامعة كبيرة، كلية كبيرة الشرعية، أو في وقت المساء، وأنا كنت تكلمت معهم، على الأقل تكون عندهم مدارس كثيرة مسائية، يكون للطلبة الذين يدرسون في المدارس الحكومية يجب أن ينالوا عقيدة صحيحة ودراسة سلفية للأحكام في مدارسهم. هذه كلها من الأعمال التي ينبغي أن يفعلوا، لكن أرجو أن يكون إن شاء الله في أعمالهم التي فيها هم لا يحيدون عن الكتاب والسنة، ثم نطالب منهم أن يزيدوا من عملهم. فالقول بأنهم ليسوا أهل الحديث أو ليسوا سلفيين، هذا ليس بالصحيح. دعاية في الحقيقة ليست بالصحيحة، والدعايات الكاذبة قد تؤثر في الناس كثيرا. ومعلوم أن عائشة رضي الله عنها البريئة من كل سوء قد دعوا فيها دعايات كاذبة وكادت أن تمرض وتموت، فلا شك أنها تعمل الدعايات. فينبغي للإخوان الذين هم يريدون النصح للجمعية أن ألا يدعوا مقاتاتها، ولا أن يعلنوا على رؤوس الأشهاد بأن هؤلاء ليسوا سلفيين. هذا كذب في الحقيقة. هم الذين نعرفهم من هو الأخ عبد الهادي معروف، لكن قد تصدر منهم بعض الأشياء التي نرغب ألا يكون، مثل اشتراك في بعض المؤتمرات أو بعض التجمعات التي لا ينبغي أن يجتمعوا. لكن قد لعل عذرهم أنهم في بلد يعيشون في بلد قد يكون يضطر واحد أن يدخل في المدارات، لا، لكن نقول لو دخل هناك إن شاء الله يدخل بعقيدته الصحيحة كل واحد. فنعرف الأخ عبد الهادي، ونعرف أخ شعيب، وكذلك الشيخ صنع الله، هؤلاء الحمد لله أصحاب العقيدة الصحيحة. وإن صدر من أحدهم خطأ فينبغي أن ينصحوا لا أن يفضحوا، نصيحة لا الفضيحة. فالذي يدعو إلى الحجر عنهم في الحقيقة ليس على صواب. نرجو أن يكونوا مهما مثل الإسلام في الحقيقة، وهذه واقعات واقعة ليس لوقاتها كاذبة، مثل الإسلام مهما ضعف ومهما فقد الناس، أهل الإسلام أفضل من أي واحد من أصحاب الأديان الباطلة. مثل هذا كما قال ابن تيمية رحمه الله: أهل الحديث في المسلمين أفضل من كل الفرق الإسلامية. نعم، هذا هو الذي نعتقد فيه إن شاء الله، وفي كل من يسعى للسلفية والعمل بالكتاب والسنة. نعم.
طيب الشيخ حفظه الله تعالى يستاد
شيلوا هذا شيلوا المكتب.
The answer to the gentleman's question is that أهل الحديث
لا عشان نسيل هذا
الجمعية the association of أهل الحديث
ما يترجم الحين
Birmingham or London or America or the like of this whatever they may
لكن مرة ثانية ما يجي لما نبكتب.
نعم. the foundation is they will be founded on the minhaj of Ahl Sunnah, the minhaj of Ahl Sunnah. As for what they do, their action, it could be said that actually, and when he said that you don't see nothing that they doing nothing for the Sunnah, he said, ask them to work more for the Sunnah. Tell them, work, actually, you represent the Sunnah, you should do something for the Sunnah. But because especially this person now, he's doing this, and he's mentioning this question because he loves the Sunnah, he loves the city being spreading himself. Instead to criticize like this, ask them, go to them and ask them to increase from their actions and to work more for the Sunnah. He said, as for to just have one class or two in the masjid and be content with a couple lectures or in a year, this is not enough. But rather for the da'wah to spread and to serve the Sunnah in those lands, you have to do more. He said, advise them to have programs in the, for example, in the radio station, in the media, to teach the people so they can, the da'wah them. Likewise, he said, we advise them that should have a university, for example, to teach the people, mini schools upon the Sunnah. Especially, he said, those children who they go to the public schools, he said, they need to learn Islam, the correct Islam. So therefore, they have to build for them a school upon the Sunnah, teach the Sunnah. He said, but as for them, that's their actions, and they need to be, if the people see that they are not doing enough, they should ask them to do more, inshaAllah ta'ala. He said, but sincerely we say that these are brothers, that they don't go against the Sunnah. And it should not be said that they are not upon the Sunnah, or they are not Salafiyun. This is not correct. He said, the Shaykh, this is not correct. He said, and even though Aisha, radiallahu anha, who she was free from the evil that they ascribed to her, but she still suffered a great deal. She almost died. She almost died from that which they ascribed to her, and she was innocent from that. He said, likewise, you find a lot of people, it was said about them that they are not on a Sunnah, they are not a Salafi, they this, they are not that. But in reality, they are a people of khair and righteousness. And he said, as for the people, they say that the brothers in Ahlu al-Hadith in Birmingham or the like of this in Britain, they are not Salafi. And he said, this is a lie. This is kadhib. This is a lie. He said, we know the brother Abdul Hadi is known to us. He said, of course, yes, we say that perhaps that some of the mistakes may come from them, that some of the things that they shouldn't say or they shouldn't do. But he said, you got to understand that sometimes the person who's in a Salafiyah living in a country that is not a country of Islam, sometimes they have to talk to certain people in certain ways, to be with certain people, to go to certain places. He said, that doesn't mean that they are Hizbi. No, they use certain ways to bring the da'wah. It's not, doesn't mean, the Shaykh, it doesn't mean that because you see some of your brothers talking to people in certain way or teaching in some places, trying to, he said, they just doing this. This is a way to give the da'wah to the people. But it doesn't mean that they are Hizbis. He said, we all know these brothers, the brothers Abdul Hadi and Shu'aib, and the Shaykh mentioned another brother, I didn't hear his name. He said, they are on a correct path, alhamdulillah. He said, so what we advise all of you, that you should, even when you see things like this, you should give advice. Don't expose your brothers. Fadiha. No, you come and give advice, and therefore they will, inshaAllah, tell you why they're doing this, and why they follow in this, and why they were found in these places. He said, as for those who call to boycott them and to call against them, he said, this is not right. This is not right. He said, because they are your brothers on Islam, even though that you may doubt that which they are upon in the Sunnah, but talk to them. They are your brothers. You may find an answer with them to that which they are doing, and they are better from the people of kufr. The Imam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah said, Ahlul Hadith, the people of Hadith, among the other groups, they are the best of the groups. They are the best of the groups. So the Shaykh said, my advice to you, that you work together upon the Haqq, and that if something happened, check it out. Check it out first. He said, the Nasiha qabla al-Fadiha. The advice should come first before you expose your brothers. Na'am, Ya Shaykh, Ahsan Allahu ilayk.
Na'am. Ahsan Allahu ilayk, wa barakallahu fikum. Wa hadha suwar al-akhir. سائل يقول أن عليه دين وهو ينوي أداء فريضة الحج وقد رضي صاحب المال بدفع أو رد دين بعد العودة من الحج، فهل الأحسن أداء فريضة الحج أم دفع دين؟ The question is, can you please ask if there's any problem making hajj if you owe someone money and they agree to accept payment after the return? So what is the best thing to do? Should I pay the debt or should I make
Hajj? أفيدونا بارك الله فيكم. أولا الدين أمره مهم جدا حتى إذا مات الإنسان عليه دين كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لم يكن يصلي عليه بنفسه تحذيرا من الدين والموت مع الدين، وكان يقول لأصحابه صلوا على صاحبكم. فإذا كان الدين لا ليس مطالبا به في حينه فجاز له أن يحج بشرط أن يكون عنده سداد، ولو مات في طريق الحج والموت ليس له أي أجل، فينبغي أن يكون هناك شيء يقول إذا مت أنا فهذا البيت بيعه أو هذا الشيء الذي أملكه بيعه وعادوا الدين. إذا كان بهذه الصورة فيحج وإلا يقدم الدين أولا، ثم إذا أقدره الله تعالى فيما بعد فإن شاء الله يحج، لكن لابد أن يكون سداد موجود عنده عمارة يقول إذا أنا مت فبيعوا هذه العمارة زائدة كيف تكون أن تسكن على أولاد غيرهم أو أي ريع عنده. فإذا كان بهذه الصورة فلا شك أن الحج ليس فيه أي حرج، لكنه إذا لم يكن سداد ويخاف لا قدر الله إذا كان مات في الطريق ففي هذه الحالة يبقى والدين عليه، فلا يصلح أن يحج بل يقضي الدين، فإذا بقي بعده ما يحج به فلا بأس. هذا هو الذي يترجع إن شاء الله. ونحن نشكركم وندعو لكم التوفيق يا إخوان، وجزاكم الله على حرصكم، ونحن لسنا إلا طلبة العلم نذاكر إن شاء الله، إذا عرفنا شيئا يعني فيه حق إن شاء الله واضح فنقول لكم فيه، سواء كانت أسئلة أو كان من أمور علمية تاريخية، وإذا لم نعرف نقول لا نعلم. ونشكركم دائما وندعو لكم على حرصكم للتعلم، والله نرجو من الله تبارك وتعالى أن يثبتكم بالقول الثابت، ولا تسمعوا لأقوال الناس الذين يخذلونكم من العقيدة الصحيحة، لأننا نحن ماسكين على طريقة المصطفى صلى الله عليه وسلم إن شاء الله، ونحن إن شاء الله لا نخاف على أحدا في هذا في بيان الحق. نحن لا نضارب أحد لا نحارب، لكن لسنا مسيطرين على أحد، لكن بيان الحق واجب علينا الذين تبنوا المنهج السلفي. وسلموا علي منا على جميع الإخوان حفظهم الله تعالى وبارك في حياتهم وعملهم وأعاشهم معيشة طيبة. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Very important. He said, for example, if somebody died while he has debts on that was not paid, and the Prophet ﷺ used to ask the companions if this person has any debts on him that is not paid. If they said yes, the Prophet ﷺ used to say to the companions, pray on him. I didn't pray on him. The Prophet ﷺ don't pray on that person. He said, so in this case, if the person, the debt, or the person who belongs to the debt, he was asking for it, he should not make the he should pay the debt. But since the case is mentioned now, that the person who the money belongs to said, it's okay, I allow you to go and make hajj but you pay me back when you come back. He said, this is okay, but with a condition. What is the condition the Sheikh mentioned? That the person who's going to Hajj, he should have something in equivalent, some property or something, as a guarantee, just in case if he dies. Before he comes back, he will say to that person, okay, I don't have your money, I have only enough to make the Hajj, but here is my house. If something happened to me, you steal the house and take your money. That's the condition. He said, then at that time, he will make a Hajj. But if he doesn't have no guarantee, just in case if he died or something happened to him, and the man, he will have no money now to pay him back, he should not make the Hajj. He should pay the debt before he goes to make the Hajj. He said, for example, if he has an apartment or a property that is extra than that which his family live in, extra than that which his family live in, then at that time he will say to that person, this is an extra property. If something happened to me, if I died, then you can go ahead and steal this and take your money. He said, so therefore it is very important that if a person doesn't have no means like this, he should not make the Hajj. Rather, he should pay his debt. He said, this is what it is, the opinion that we bring you and we choose. And then the Sheikh said, in reality, we thank you. After thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we thank you greatly and for your zeal and your keen and zealous and eager to learn the deen and to teach the people and to connect them with the people of knowledge. He said, in reality, and as for us, we're just the students of knowledge. We're seeking knowledge as you are seeking knowledge. And if we say something that is correct, alhamdulillah, take it. If we say something that is not correct, rather you have to follow the truth, follow the haqq. He said, alhamdulillah, we thank you once again for allowing us to share with you this information. And he said, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us knowledge that is beneficial. And he said, and we ask Allah to keep us upon the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, don't pay no mind, Shaykh said, don't pay no mind to those people who want to discourage you, those people who come from their own opinions, these people who want to discourage you and say this is not right or this is not like this. He said, don't be discouraged as long as you're connected to the people of knowledge, as long as you are upon the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which consists of being upon the truth. And he said, and making the truth clear is wajib. He said, we're not trying to fight against certain people or to make ourselves enemies or the like, but when the haqq has to be made clear, it has to be made clear. Because this is our minhaj, this is what the minhaj of al-Salafi asks us and consists of. He said, and give our salam to our beloved brothers and sisters. Naam ya Abdai, tafakkal barakatuh.
Ahsan Allahu ilayk wa jazakum Allahu khairan wa barakallahu feekum. And with this we conclude our today's session, thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us the tawfiq to organize this lecture, and thank our honorable Shaykh for this wonderful lecture. We also thank our brother Abu Muhammad al-Maghribi jazahullahu khaira for his excellent translation, and we also thank you all as well for your presence and gathering to increase knowledge. And before we end, we would like to announce once again and inform you about the submission of notes and the next lecture. We know that many of our registered students are currently enrolled in colleges and schools. And starting this week, you will be having your final exams. And also, we will be having Hajj, inshallah ta'ala. Therefore, we will cancel our next two lectures and we'll resume our classes back in the first week of February, inshallah ta'ala. And furthermore, all students will also be granted additional 2 weeks of extension to submit notes for today's lecture. So don't rush to post notes if you are having your finals. Rather, concentrate on your finals and study hard. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all successful in the exams of the dunya and the exams of the hereafter. We remind you again, since we have not started the book or the explanation of the book itself for Aqidah or for the Fiqh, we will be extending the deadline to register for these courses, for which we will issue the certificates. You may register, inshallah ta'ala, before we actually start the explanation of the book. So since these two lectures were only intro about the authors and the books itself, we have extended this deadline. So you still have a chance. If you have not registered, visit www.albasira.org or email at course, C-O-U-R-S-E, at albasira.org. And again, we thank you all for everything. And جزاكم الله خيرا وبارك الله فيكم.
وفيكم بارك الله يبارك فيك يا أخي. جزاك الله خيرا على هذا المجهود القيم يا أخي.
الله يستعان.
جزاكم الله خيرا. جزاكم الله خيرا. وعليكم السلام.